Blog Talk Radio.
Hatchet, you're late.
Sir.
What do you mean by coming in here at this time of day?
I'm very sorry, sir. I am behind my time, sir.
You are indeed. Step this way, Mr. Cratchit, please.
It's only once a year, sir. It won't be repeated. I was making rather merry yesterday, sir.
I'm sure you were. Well, we won't beat about the bush, my friend. I'm not going to stand this sort of thing any longer. Which leaves me no alternative but to raise your salary.
The only original bone that Dan's ever had in his body is Larry Sharp's.
Oh, God.
This is the Greek god, Demetrius Papadon, the greatest unsigned talent today, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Radio.
I'm sick of hearing about this Ryan Castellucci, whatever his name is.
Castellucci.
Whatever.
This is the Bulldozer Matt Tremont, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Ooh la la, come on now. It's an interview, it's not a monologue.
You shut your mouth and you just listen. I tell you, he got, now what was on his arm? It looked like some sort of, I don't know, but it spoke, and I thought it was handing me a phone. I'm not sure what happened, but next thing you know, I got, it would look like I watched later, it was a DDT that came out of nowhere, and it left me pretty groggy the rest of the evening, I tell you.
Hey guys, this is Salamander Jones, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio!
Welcome to yet another, it's a special Christmas edition of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am your host, I am the Dean of Credibility, Double D, and you can find me at Folsom County. With me, as always, is the above-average comedian, that's right, Dan the Man Law is with me.
You can find me on Twitter at DanLaw83.
Joining us a little bit later on will be our MMA wrestling analyst, that's right, it's Omega Squad, and you can find him at Omega Squad on Twitter.
I think he wants us just call him Chris now.
Well, that was after the unfortunate Tully Blanchard incident.
I don't know how unfortunate that was.
Well, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, just search for Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. We are proudly part of the BradyHicks.com, even if Brady's not so proud of it.
Well, you know, we made Brady.
Follow the Twitter. You said it, not me. Follow the Twitter at HIAC Talk Radio.
I'm not being serious, Brady.
Like the Facebook at facebook.com/cellinahell. And also, what I would like to say is there's now a website.
Oh, yeah.
You can go to HIACtalkradio.com, and that will take you to the blog, which is pretty much official for Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
That's it. Official, that's the one.
So, Dan.
And I would never, first of all, never insult anybody who interviews Lex Luger. Carry on, Dean.
So, Dan, this week we have Ring of Honor television champion. He's had one heck of, it's not even 2012 as a whole. Oh. It was really the last 6 months of this year. He put together something really special. We're going to talk to him. We're going to call him in just a few moments. That's Adam Cole.
Now, this is a television championship. Is this a television championship that is truly defended only on the television?
I'm not 100% sure. I would imagine so.
There you go. I got my first question for him.
On pay-per-views and whatnot.
Yeah, right.
I
didn't mean to put you in a spot like that, dude.
Well, it was a very odd question.
How is it? Okay.
Just an odd question.
Okay.
We also have the reigning ECWA Unified Champion. That's right, Chris Wilde will be here. And it's been a while since we've talked to Chris.
It's interesting to see where he's come, you know, from actually winning the title to now and the challenges that he faces in the future, if he can make it through them.
Yes. Yes. And also, we will be joined by Robert Knight for fan mail. And he has a special guest with him this week.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be interesting. We're going to entitle this an epic Christmas. An epic Christmas. Now, over the weekend...
I never ever wanted to leave before.
Over the weekend, Dan, there was a WWE pay-per-view, and of course, in Friday, there were some tragic events that happened in Sandy Hook, Connecticut. WWE went along and did this. And we'll be back on the other side.
Ladies and gentlemen, before tonight's pay-per-view, would you please rise as we toll the bell 26 times, and we extend our condolences to the families and friends of the victims of the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut.
So, like I said, a tragic occurrence. This isn't the type of show where we go into that sort of thing.
No.
But I thought it was...
Words didn't describe it.
I really think that WWE, you know, they made the right call. And
oh, very, very, very class. That was a very good call.
And we're going to talk about something else a little bit later on, a story with Daniel Bryan and a seven-year-old.
Oh, you read that? I'm so happy you read that.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
I can't wait to talk about that. Cool.
So we have that, but right now, Dan, it's time to call up our guest.
Wait a minute, we call him? He's on the list of calling him?
Yeah, he certainly is.
Oh. Okay.
It's just easier that way, Dan.
I know. I did not know.
So here we go. I think. There we go. Just took a minute.
MCI still.
Hello.
Hi, is this Adam Cole?
Yes, it is.
Hi, this is Double D, Dean Dixon, from Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, and Dan Law is with me as well. Well, first of all...
Great, hello.
Happy holidays, Adam. It's good to talk to you again.
Oh, thank you. You guys as well. I know the holidays are a really hectic time for everybody, but at the same time, it's good to sit back and, you know, relax and enjoy it as well, if possible. So, yeah, thank you very much. Same goes to you guys.
All right. Now, the first thing, I really want to break this down. We talked to you last time. It was in June. Actually, May 30th, I believe it was.
Was it really that far?
Yeah, And you were coming back into ECWA. You were taking on the Greek god Papadon for the ECWA heavyweight title. Now, first of all, that match, what did you think of it once you were back in the locker room and you had a few moments to think about it?
Sure. You know, that match, to be honest, was everything that I expected it to be. You know, Papadon at the time was on such a tear in the ECWA. And I think at that point, he was just really coming into the forefront as far as becoming an independent wrestling star, which he's becoming now with, you know, the places that he's, you know, showing up and popping up. So that was just one of those deals where I knew Papadon took the match very seriously because he felt like it was a really big match for him and potentially a big title defense. And then obviously the ECWA has been so important, I think, in the history of my young career thus far as, you know, competing in the Super 8 tournament, having a match like I had against Papadon and things like that. So other than being extremely disappointed, obviously, that I didn't walk away with the ECWA Heavyweight Championship, that's a match that I'm certainly very proud of and one that hopefully the fans will remember for a long time.
Now, and I will preface this by saying that that match is what got me back into, well, not only indie wrestling, but wrestling altogether, because I was kind of, you know.
Oh, wow.
I was out of it. That was the first live show I had seen in years, and I was like, okay, I'm there. When you're going to do a match with somebody that good as you are you more thinking, oh, please don't screw this up, or we got this?
You know, I don't know. There's so many different factors that go into it. Like, you know, especially now lately with the caliber of athletes that I've been in the ring with and kind of the high-profile, high-pressure situations that I'm put in, you know, certainly the pressure is there. Like, you know, each every time I walk through the curtain, it doesn't matter who I'm wrestling for, I definitely set an insane amount of pressure on myself that not the fans, not the wrestlers that I'm in there with, or not the promoters are setting on me. It's all stuff that I'm putting on myself, which you'll notice most of the guys are, you know, like that as well, whether they admit it or not. So, yeah, you know, absolutely there's a case of, you know, being in very high-pressure situations. But at the same time, I know it's generic and cliche, but the second you walk through that curtain, you just have so much faith and confidence in your abilities at that point. Because if you start to question it at all, whether or not you can bring it, that's when bad things happen. So, yeah, certainly the second you go through the curtain, you have to believe in yourself and go, yep, I got this.
All right. Now, later in that month for Ring of Honor, you tasted your first gold in the company. You won the Ring of Honor television title from Roderick Strong. What were your thoughts once that match was over?
Yeah, you know, so many different emotions. You know, for me, that's probably the crowning moment, I think, so far of my wrestling career, just because the company, you know, Ring of Honor being as big as it is, and for them to sit back and invest and say, hey, we want to put stock into Adam Cole, we want him to be our television champion, was very humbling and, you know, very cool. So obviously the second it was over and seeing the way that the crowd reacted, I was very excited, I was very relieved. But at the same time, it was one of those things where I got to the back and I sat down and I looked at the championship and I said, okay, here comes that pressure I was worrying about. Because the second you hold a belt like that, now you're expected to perform on a certain level. You're looked at as a champion, so you have to wrestle like a champion. You know you're going to be in there with high-profile athletes and high-profile matches. So again, sink or swim, and you better damn well swim, because otherwise they'll find a reason to take the belt off of you. So yeah, definitely a lot of pressure. And certainly something that I feel that I'm more than capable of doing. You know, I have a lot of faith in the championship reign that I'm looking to have. And I'm not going to give Ring of Honor or its fans any reason to believe that I shouldn't be the champion.
Now, being a TV championship for a bigger company, I say bigger because it's on TV, and I don't mean this any disrespectfully. Do you treat that championship any differently than you would treat any championship in another indie wrestling federation?
Do I treat the Ring of Honor championship the same as I would another wrestling company? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, but like, say it's the Ring of Honor TV championship against some other federation's world championship.
Sure. You know, I definitely think there's comparisons, you know, but for me personally, as far as if I were to become champion for another wrestling organization, you know, say like PWG, for example, like I'm the PWG world champion out there. I take that just as serious, you know, as being the Ring of Honor television champion. And I think you should. And I think that's part of being proud of your work and being proud of who you are. I think that has a lot to do with success. So, yeah, I certainly take every single championship just as important, every single match just as important. Because, like I said, I think that's very crucial to, not thinking that you're good enough. I think constantly advancing and constantly growing is so important to succeeding in pro wrestling. So, yeah, I take everything very serious.
So wrestling in front of a smaller crowd to a bigger crowd, it's the same show for you?
Absolutely, 100%. Cool. Yeah, because my idea is this, is a hypothetical question. Let's say you're wrestling in front of a town or you're wrestling in front of an audience, and let's say there's only 30 people there. But you look out into the crowd and you see a family of four, and then you think, okay, how much did they spend for those tickets? Okay, it was $20 each. And then how far did they drive to the show? Gosh, potentially up to an hour to drive to the show. Then they had to pay for gas. Then they had to pay for food. And then that same family decides to come up to my merchandise table and buy my T-shirts, DVDs, and pictures. It would be an insult, you know, for me to do anything less than give them my 100%, regardless of how many people are there. Of course, it's awesome if you're wrestling on pay-per-view and there's 1,500 people there. But, yeah, if there's 30 people there and they've, you know, spent their hard-earned money to come watch Adam Cole wrestle, you know, you better believe I'm going to give him my best.
Wow. Great.
Wow. Yeah, answer I was looking for. Hell yeah.
Yeah, great answer to that. Now, you've been the champion, like I said, since June 29th. You've met all comers. But it seems now that Matt Hardy is a bit
yeah.
of a problem for you.
Yeah, you know Matt Hardy coming into Ring of Honor, obviously that had a lot of Ring of Honor fans very upset. You know, I by no means was upset about it at all, because to me I thought, oh, this is great. You know, a guy like Matt Hardy coming into Ring of Honor will be fantastic for our company. He's a guy who deserves all the credit that he's gotten over the years of putting his body on the line and just having spectacular, you know, TLC matches, ladder matches, cage matches, whatever it is. He was awesome on WWE TV for a very long time. And then, you know, some of the comments he made, obviously singling me out, leading to our match at Final Battle, and then him showing his true colors by the way that he defeated me in New York City at Final Battle, certainly changed something with my perception of him and changed something inside of me as well. So I was very happy to hear that that was not the last appearance of Matt Hardy in Ring of Honor, that he will be back, because you can definitely bet that I'm going to try to get in the ring with him one more time.
Mm-hmm. So this... In your view, this is not over. You and Matt Hardy, there has to be some type of resolution.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. I mean, for those of you, I don't want to spoil it, but part of me just wants to get it out. The result at Final Battle was not the one I was looking for, and the result at Final Battle is not something that Matt Hardy can be proud of. Regardless of the fact of whether or not he says on Twitter or Facebook or YouTube or whatever he does, to talk about how he proved everyone wrong and he said he was going to beat me and he did... Yeah, he did, but not the old Matt Hardy that I knew, not the guy that I watched and admired on my television set. This is a completely different guy. And if that's the Matt Hardy that I'm stepping into the ring with, I now know who I'm dealing with, and you're going to get a completely different Adam Cole the next time you see Adam Cole and Matt Hardy in the ring together.
This kind of segues into a match I didn't think I would see you in. At CZW, this is just December 8th, this month.
Yeah.
You wrestled a CZW rules match with Sami Callihan, your nemesis, if you will. Now, what was it like coming back to CZW and getting into the ring with Callihan under those circumstances?
Yeah, that was interesting for us. You know, for anyone who has followed me and Sammy's CZW feud, we feuded all through 2011. And we had a bunch of, you know, really big wrestling matches against each other, but obviously the hatred hasn't stopped between the two of us. I had been away for a couple of months from CZW, and I made my return, and instantly the feud was reignited. You know, obviously between the two of us. And the inspiration behind it is a lot of people have called either me or either Sammy the top indie prospect, the top guy coming up. And obviously me and him have a debate on who that guy is. So leading into the CZW Cage of Death, which is CZW's biggest event of the year, like I said, we had so many wrestling matches against each other. And this feud I felt really needed to come to an end. And I'm not known for being a CZW rules guy, or I'm not known for being a hardcore wrestler. But I thought, this is Sammy's perfect environment. So if I can beat Sammy in his own environment, I think it proves that I'm the better wrestler. And me and him just literally beat the crap out of each other. It was definitely a war, which is what everyone expected. And fortunately for me, I walked away as the winner. So as far as I'm concerned, the feud with me and Sami Callihan is finished in CZW.
Now, during that match, like you were saying, both of you went through all the stops. There was chairs that were set up in the ring. There was ladders, but Sammy introduced into the match some poo. What were your thoughts
yes,
on
he did.
on the Who?
Yeah, you know, Sammy's notoriously known as one of the most disgusting, gross, independent wrestlers in all the entire scene. I mean, he works for another wrestling organization, which I won't repeat the exact name of the group that he was in, but I'll use the abbreviation. It was called Duff. And that was exactly who he is. You know, he's a tobacco spitting, saliva spitting. Just he's a dirty individual. And he had made some threats and made some comments to me about how he was going to defecate in the ring and put me into it. And obviously, I wanted no part of this. And the most disgusting and embarrassing thing in my entire wrestling career happened to Cage of Death. If I wouldn't have won, I don't know how I would have reacted. I think winning kind of numbed the pain of the entire situation. But yes, I got jackknife powerbombed into Sammy's disgusting bag of poop. And it was, like I said, something that will never, ever happen again.
Thank you.
I had to take a moment there. Now.
Yeah, please. Let's all have a moment of silence for the most embarrassing moment of my wrestling career.
It certainly was.
You know what? At least you didn't get turned over into a porta potty or anything. But what would have mattered?
Yeah, at that point.
Right, exactly. I felt like when Triple H got thrown into that big thing of poop all those years ago, he fell into that pig pen and all that. Yeah. It wasn't that graphic, but how he felt mentally was how I felt as well.
Definitely. Now, I want to take a step back here. The 2011 Super 8 tournament, this was actually the first time I got to see you perform live. Now,
okay.
Going back to that tournament, what was it like when you, of course, the first round was against Sami Callihan. That was a rematch of Best of the Best from just the week before. Then you had a match with Austin Aries. So just those first two round matches, what was that like getting in there?
Yeah, no, those were very big for me. I don't need to go down here and talk about how prestigious and how important the Super 8 is, because everyone already knows that. But, you know, certainly that was a case for me where not only was I in there at the Super 8 tournament, but the quality of opposition that I was in the ring with was insane. You know, me and Sammy were just coming up at that point, just really starting to get our feet wet and kind of, you know, starting to get our names out there a little bit. And, of course, like you had mentioned, the previous week we met in the finals of Best of the Best. So that was a hot match at the time that people were talking about in that particular area. So we came to do an opening round at the Super 8, which I think was is big for me. And it was very important to start off a tournament hot to where people remember your first match. And then obviously going in there with Austin Aries, you know, he was a guy that I watched when I was in high school and was such a big fan of. So I learned a lot from him that night. And it was really great getting in the ring with him for sure. So, yeah, my first two round opponents, I think, were very important, and as far as my Super 8 performance is being memorable, because I was just in there with such great talent.
Then, of course, in the finals, another Ring of Honor alumni, he's on the shelf right now. I think he might have come back at the last pay-per-view, Tommaso Ciampa. What was it like? Yeah. Obviously, both of you went through three hard matches. You finally get to the finals. What is that like when it's that close and you don't get it?
Yeah, I remember Tommaso had talked, because it was like years and years. He was, you know, he'd make it to the finals of the Super 8 and he just couldn't do it. So he was hungrier than ever going into this thing. But so was I. But then, you know, obviously the feeling of getting so close to winning a tournament that important and seeing the magazine coverage that he got, seeing the look on his face after he won the tournament, and just realizing how important it was definitely crushing. But it made me desire it and want it that much more. And it's so interesting, too, when you meet in the finals of a tournament with a guy like, you know, the talent caliber of Tommaso. You're so exhausted and you're so drained. You know, having two really hard-hitting competitive matches before and knowing Tommaso went through the same thing, you're literally going in there and throwing everything that you have right off the gate because you're just trying to win and get it over with. So, yeah, it was definitely brutal, and we definitely brought it that night. But 100%, he was the better man that night, and he definitely deserved to win the Super 8 that year.
All right.
Now, I was going to ask, do you ever get discouraged? I don't know how to ask this, so I'll ask it like this. Do you ever get discouraged, or does it fire you up when you wrestle somebody, you have a great match on the indie circuit, you beat them, and then they get on TV?
No, not at all, actually. I'm actually very happy for those guys. To me, we're all doing this together. We're all working together. And the more time, and this is, you know, not even just a wrestling thing, but kind of how I think about life in general, the more time you spend on negative energy, the more negative things happen. I know it sounds like some hippie bull crap, but it's the truth. Like, if I were to sit down and focus and go, oh, man, I wrestled so-and-so, and he's getting these opportunities that I should be getting, all that does is create bitterness and creates negativity to where you're focusing on the bad things. To where if I see that and I'm proud of him, and I go, man, I'm going to work really, really hard to make sure I become a better performer and a better wrestler. And I send that guy congratulations, and I make him feel great about what he accomplished. Positive things will come. You know, that's just a fact. So I have to believe in myself enough to go, if, you know, guys that I'm getting in the ring with are getting opportunities before me, that eventually maybe my time will come. But until then, I'm just going to enjoy the journey and make sure that I'm doing everything that I possibly can to get to where I want to be.
Yeah. And again, before Dean goes, you and Papa Don were what got me back into wrestling, so I thank you again.
Thank you. That means a lot to me. I appreciate that a lot. Thank you.
No problem.
Now, this one just came to me as I was listening to your answer. You were in CZW at the same time as Moxley, right?
Yes. Yes, I was.
So what's it like when you see him in a very high-profile feud right now?
Yeah. Oh, it's unbelievable. It's funny because everyone in the CZW locker room, when Moxley was in CZW, we all knew he was going to be a giant star. We all thought to ourselves, like, man, if this guy just gets an opportunity and gets a shot, he is going to make so much money. Oh, wow. My gosh, we just hope the right guys see him and the right guys believe in him. And I'm not lying at all. Literally everybody felt this way about Moxley. So for all of us, it's literally one of these deals where we see Moxley on TV and we're all texting and calling each other like, we knew it, we knew he'd do it. So, yeah, we're just proud of him, man. And I think he's literally scratching the surface. This guy's going to main event WrestleMania one day, no doubt about it.
That's awesome. Now, another thing that happened this year, you made your way to CTWE. You debuted, you wrestled one of their stars up there, Bandido Jr., at Born to Battle 3. Now, personally, when I saw this on YouTube, I thought this was the match that I have seen this year. And I'm not just a guy that goes around and sees a show here, watches Raw. This was the match of the year.
I'll attest to that.
No.
Bar none, everything about that match, the way you guys, the psychology, the pacing, just everything about this match. What are your thoughts of that, what I think is a great match?
Oh yeah, well, for you know, first of all, again, thank you very much. Your compliments mean a lot. And that again, that was a situation where I had been dying to get into the ring with Bandido Jr. for years because me and him had worked a lot of shows together. I'd seen him in some great matches. He's seen me in matches before. So it was one of those deals where we always said, man, I really hope we get that one-on-one match sometime. And fortunately for me, CTWE, it was like, you know, a day before I left for a two-week tour of England. You know, they had contacted me about wanting to come in and do the show, and I found out I was wrestling Bandido Jr., and I'm like, oh, of course I'll be there. So, yeah, that was one of those deals where that's certainly a match that I'm very proud of. And I still feel like we could do better. You know, I definitely think if we had more time to really create something really special, I feel like we could do, you know, do even better than that, considering it was the first time we touched. But, yeah, definitely a match I'm proud of. Bandido Jr. is awesome, just a great talent. So, yeah, I would love to step into the ring with him again for sure.
You just said that was the first time you guys wrestled.
Yeah, first time we've ever touched. Yeah, first time we've ever wrestled.
Wow. I want a rematch. I don't care where. I don't care what company.
I don't care how. I don't care where.
But
must happen.
Yeah, let's get that done. Now, moving right along.
I'm down. I'm with you guys. Yeah.
You also had a big year in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. You already alluded to the fact you're their champion. We'll get to that in a minute. But before that happened, the Battle of Los Angeles, September 1st and 2nd of this year, you came out the winner of this tournament. And you... First round, just as an example, you took on El Generico. So what are your thoughts with that?
Yeah, you know, PWG is a company that I have so much fun working for. They just have the best crowd in pro wrestling. It's just an absolute blast. So to to get to go out for PWG and then wrestle in a tournament like the Battle of LA was very big. And the craziest thing to me was, initially I was not even supposed to be in the tournament. It was supposed to be 12 guys and it was supposed to be one night. And then I got changed to 16 guys on two nights. So then they had asked me if I wanted to be in the tournament, and they asked me to cut a promo for the event, and they really enjoyed the promo. So lo and behold to me, later on it happened to be that I ended up winning the entire tournament, and wrestling guys like El Generico and Eddie Edwards and Sammy Callahan and Michael Elgin, all just top class, top notch indie talent. So it was a blast, and I get to play as the Panama City Playboy out in California. So I really enjoyed that role as well. And, just a very, very fun weekend for me and a very big weekend as well.
All right. And, of course, the winner of that. So, again, another company has this faith in you. I mean, are you humble with this? Does it go to your head? I mean, just exactly how do you feel all these companies, they have their faith in you?
Yeah, it means the world to me, for sure, and it's very, very humbling to think that these companies that I'm such a big fan of and these companies that I'm working for and sharing a locker room with all these talented guys, and they're picking me to be the guy for the time being. But that's exactly that. I'm the guy for the time being. And, I'm very realistic in my approach of, to me, I never understood guys with egos in pro wrestling because it's literally impossible for someone to be awesome all by themselves. And what I mean by that is we talk about, let's go back even to the Bandito Jr. match. If I, for whatever reason, decided to make Bandito Jr. look horrible, or he decided to make me look horrible, the match would have been horrible. But because we both went out there and said, hey, we want to make each other look great, let's have a great wrestling match, fortunately it was one that people really liked. So that's the exact deal. Just because the owner and the promoter thinks that I'm talented and wants me to be the guy, and the guys that I'm working with see the same thing in me and want to make me look great, and I want to make them look great. It's all a giant team effort. So by no means am I thinking I'm the man and that I can do anything and I've got this all in the bag. By no means. Like I said, it's definitely a team effort, and I've been in the ring with some of the best wrestlers in the entire world who I've learned a lot from and been fortunate enough to have some good matches with. So not at all. Yeah, it's very humbling, very exciting time, obviously, for me in my career. 2012 was just insane. So definitely thankful for this year. I'll remember 2012 forever.
All right. And is there still a dream match out there for you? Is there still like a match that you want with somebody, whether it's on the independent level or even WWE or TNA?
Sure. A lot of people have asked me this question as well. And a couple of people have said they'd love to see me have a match with this guy. And the more I think about it, the more I get excited. I would love at some point to get in the ring with Dolph Ziggler. Obviously that would mean I'd have to end up in WWE. But I just think that guy's fantastic. He's so exciting to watch. And he's done such a great job of coming up and being different and having exciting matches. So, he's certainly a guy I'd love to step into the ring with.
Okay. And, of course, in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, you won the world title there. You defeated Kevin Steen on December 1st. Now, what's that like, winning yet another championship?
No,
that's very big, because it is a little bit different than, for example, me to sit back and say, hey, I'm really proud to be the Ring of Honor television champion. Although that's very important, again, I'd be kidding myself to say I'm the feature guy, because everyone knows the Ring of Honor world champion's the feature guy. This isn't the case in PWG. I'm now the feature guy because I'm the heavyweight champion. So it's a little bit kind of different pressure on you, knowing that you're going to be in the main events, you're going to defend the title, and you got to have really exciting wrestling matches. Definitely a lot of pressure, but, just absolutely exciting as well. Going in there with Kevin Steen and then having it was guerrilla warfare, no less. So there were chairs and there were ladders and there were even thumbtacks involved. It got really, really crazy and really nasty. So I certainly earned my stripes that night in the ring. Very exciting time, like I said, and something completely different than the television title run that I'm having at Ring of Honor. But again, it's something I'm confident in. The fans seem to be enjoying everything. And, it's gonna be a cool ride.
All right. And then December 7th, the day before Cage of Death, you were wrestling Joe Gacy at Excite Wrestling. So how, another CZW alumni, I mean, how is all these promotions? I mean, you're definitely getting out there. Is that part of the plan to just be as many places as you can?
Oh, for sure. You know, that was my goal kind of from the gate. For me, I just wanted to wrestle as much as I possibly could, get out there and work as much as I possibly could. You know, not only initially, it was mainly to get better, make sure I'm improving and things like that, but staying relevant. You know, in independent wrestling is very important, making sure you get your name out there as much as you can. And I for one, love traveling. Like, I love getting in my car, even if I'm by myself, and driving 6 hours to a show and just listening to music. To me, it's like the most relaxing thing in the world because there's nothing you can do. It's not like when you're at home and you think, oh, okay, I could get this, 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 and this done. When you're on the road, you can just kind of relax and think and kind of, you know, think in your own thoughts or whatever it is. It's very relaxing. So I enjoy meeting new people and going to different towns and wrestling in front of these different crowds and meeting all these different fans. It's really cool. It's a really good time. And fortunately for me, I'm very busy. You know, I never have a weekend off. I'm always traveling. So, yeah, things are good.
Now, and I'm just curious, as much as you're wrestling, as many dates as you have, and you don't have to answer this fully because I don't want to get into your personal life, but is this your job or do you have a full-time job you still have to do?
Yeah, actually, fortunately for me, this is my job. You know, this is what I wake up. And have to worry about doing, and what I go to sleep have to worry about doing. So,
awesome.
Yeah, sometimes it's very, sometimes it's very, very busy, and other times it's very relaxed and laid back. Fortunately for me, like I said, lately it's been very, very busy. So yeah, living the dream, man. This is it.
Congratulations, yeah.
Now,
thank you.
Is that something that was instilled in you by DJ Hyde, who is one of your mentors?
Yeah, no, he certainly, DJ was an awesome trainer. You know, I've said this before in previous interviews, but he was a guy that just went above and beyond and made sure, first of all, that I really respected wrestling, which for him it was easy to get me to do that because I respected it obviously from the gate. But just, you know, instilling that work ethic of going out and getting as much work as you can and making sure you know what you're worth and making sure that you go out and wrestle and try to, you know, become the guy. You know, not ever going out and doing this just for fun or doing this as a hobby. Making sure that every weekend you go out there, you want to eventually become the best. And that's kind of the idea that all these guys have, all these Michael Elgins and Sammy Callahans and Austin Aries and Tommaso Ciampas and, you know, myself included. All of us have that mindset of, you know, being really good or being pretty good isn't good enough. You know, we someday want to be able to sit back and say that at one point in time we were the best. If that ever happens for any of us, we don't know. But I think that pursuit of and that drive to always wanting to get there will in turn help us get as far as we possibly can.
Now, coming from you, what was the best moment for you in all of 2012? When you look back, what do you think it was?
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of great moments, I think, and ones that I'll certainly hold special and hold tight to me for a long time. But crazy enough, I think my most important moment and special moment for me was when I got half my face knocked off in New York City at Best in the World 2012, when I wrestled Kyle O'Reilly, and he punched me in the face, and it completely cut my mouth in half. I was literally gushing and spewing blood. Like when I fell back, I remember I was choking on my own blood. It was a crazy time, which is insane, like I said, for me to bring that up. But I think it was one of those moments that I think I really needed, because at that time the Ring of Honor fan base looked at me, and even though they enjoyed my matches, I don't know if they could really get behind and believe in me, because to them I was just a pretty boy. You know, that 18 to 35 male demographic, they weren't too sure about me. They weren't too sure if I was tough. So when I got thrown in that situation and I could prove that I was tough, I think it changed the minds of a lot of people. And again, it was such a real and such a raw moment that we could not recapture if we tried to. There's no way we could plan that out or make that happen again. Like an example, when the doctor came down to ringside to check on me, that was really the New York State Athletic Commission. And that was the real doctor that stitched me up, who was attempting to stop the match. And I really looked at him and told him he's not stopping it. So again, the fans could tell that was going on. The camera crew could tell that was going on. The referee knew it was going on. And it was just one of those really magical moments in wrestling. And I think it definitely turned the corner for me and kind of opened another chapter for me in my wrestling career, for sure. So yeah, to me, that's probably the most special one of the year.
Speaking of next chapters, what's ahead for you coming up in 2013?
You know, well, as far as stuff goes, you know, I try not to set actually too many specific goals for myself. Like I used to when I first started, I said, oh, I really want to wrestle this guy or wrestle for this promotion or do this or do that. And now, you know, I really focus on, like I said, just making sure I try to better myself as much as I can. And then wherever I end up, I kind of end up. You know, like I alluded to earlier about traveling, I would love to travel overseas somewhere next year. You know, I've been to Europe, I've been to Japan and Mexico, but I'd like to even broaden that even more. I'd like to maybe go to Australia. You know, I'd like to do some more stuff up in northern Canada. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff I'd like to go out and try and do this year for sure. But in the process, definitely enjoying the journey as well, which I think is the most important thing. It was kind of hard for me to do when I first started wrestling because I was so wrapped up in making sure that I was doing good and doing my job. Whereas now I feel like I can, you know, enjoy the ride a little bit better, which makes the journey a lot more fun.
All right. Now for the fans out there, is there someplace they can follow you and your career as you move on?
Absolutely. I have a website. It's www.adamcolepro.com. That has my schedule. It has a little store in there, too, if anyone's interested in T-shirts or DVDs or pictures. Just a cool little website. Like I said, it keeps you up to date with everything that I got going on. My webmaster, Daniel Mitchell in England, he runs it. He's done just a fantastic job with this thing. So, yeah, definitely check it out. I have a Twitter, @AdamColePro. My Facebook is full, but you can subscribe if you want. It's facebook.com/AdamColePro. And then also a little YouTube channel with some promos and highlight videos and things like that. And again, that's youtube.com/AdamColePro. So you can check me out on any of those outlets.
All right, Adam, I want to thank you so much. You have a happy holiday, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you very much. You guys as well. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So that was Adam Cole, and we'll be back after this.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room on WEXT 1600 AM in Philadelphia and TheBradyHicks.com. Like what you hear? Be sure to check out all the other great content available on TheBradyHicks.com. In the Room, Between the Ropes, JV Mail, Hell in a Cell Radio, Titus Machiavelli, The Papadon Show, What's Wrong with Wrestling, The Book Club, Saturday Night Akbaz, The Extreme Odd Couple with Steve Corino and Rob Dimension, The O Show, The Fish Tank with Bobby Fish, and Dimple Date, The Date Dating and Relationship Show at TheBradyHicks.com. Great video content. This Week in Wrestling. Stepping Out with Sassy Stephanie. WSU and ECWA TV. Completely Damaged. Wrestling Reflections with Darren Corbin. And so much more. Check it out today.
All right, we are back. Omega, how are you this week?
I am doing much better than I was last week.
Yes, yes. You called out. You had a sick day.
I did have a sick day. I was on special assignment to my bed.
There you
so,
go. So we call you Chris now, right?
Yeah, you call me Chris. It probably makes a lot more sense.
I like the Omega.
Might confuse the older folk.
I do have a caller.
It does confuse the older folk.
I do have a caller. So
let's see.
All right.
Caller, just state your name and where you're calling from. Hello?
Yeah, first time, long time.
Okay. It's a New York number. It's 718, so I don't know. No, it's not that. I'll put them back on hold. They indicated they were sitting there during the Adam Cole, and as soon as Adam was
I don't
off,
think that really works.
No, it does. It does. Anyway.
Anywho.
Getting back.
Welcome back.
Adam
Chris.
Cole, wow.
Thank you.
Adam Cole, that was...
I'm very proud of that one.
Yeah. I was listening in. It was a very good interview.
I must say how cool it is. And there's a gentleman who's a friend of both mine and my girlfriend's, who this was his first year that he has lived on doing what he loves to do. Nothing else. Privately, what's the word? Privately employed. I couldn't think of the word. Yeah, thank you, employed. Privately employed, this is the first year he's done. He's made his living doing what he loves to do. And I think that's just, anybody who could do that, big, huge congratulations to you.
Yeah, definitely.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, when we had DJ Hyde on, he said the same thing. You know, you're a worker, you're not a wrestler. There's a difference between the two.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody that I know that has been trained by DJ Hyde has that same type of mentality. Know your worth and go out and get the dates. And certainly Adam does that. So
he works his ass off. And I was at his website while we were interviewing him. Yeah, he works his ass off.
All right, so moving along, Omega, you weren't here last week. Let's get up to speed with UFC 154. Do you remember UFC 154?
UFC 154, or was it? I thought we talked about UFC 154, didn't we?
No, I don't think we talked about the results. Benson Henderson winning.
Oh, that's UFC on Fox.
Oh, well, that's probably why.
That would be why you're confusing me.
I'm sorry.
Do your due diligence.
You know what? There's a difference between when a wrestling great tells you to do your due diligence, and you know, and it's just your friend.
it's some schmuck. Yeah, dude, yeah. There really is a huge difference. Cavernous gap in it.
Oh my goodness!
Kiss my butt.
UFC on Fox 5. Benson Henderson versus Nate Diaz.
Wait, we did talk about this, I think, didn't we?
We didn't talk about the results of this.
We talked about getting tickets to a show and not being able to watch it live.
Oh, yeah, son of a, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, gotcha.
I got you.
I'm on board.
So, Benson Henderson victorious after 5 strenuous rounds. Nate Diaz, what's next for him?
Well, that's a good question. You know, the next challenger is probably the winner. Well, there's two real choices in my view. It's either the winner of Anthony Pettis and Donald Cerrone, or Gilbert Melendez coming over from Strikeforce. Don't really know which one yet. Personally, I'd rather see Pettis. I'd rather see the rematch. I'd rather see Henderson get a chance to avenge that loss and avenge the Showtime kick.
Yeah.
And that'll be a... That should be a good fight, but honestly, any of those three, I will take. I think those are those all have a potential to be good fights, although the only thing with Cerrone is we've already seen that twice. So, yeah. You know, that would be a third trilogy. But they're both good fights, so I don't really have a problem with it. But I think of the three, I'd rather see Pettis.
Well, do you think that Benson Henderson at this point is becoming – a juggernaut like the rest of the champions in UFC?
Little early to say that yet. He beat Frankie Edgar twice, narrowly. And Pettis won that fight, even though that was also a close fight. Now, the Benson Henderson that lost to Anthony Pettis is a long ways from the champion Benson Henderson we see now. Mm-hmm. Who continues to be a complete fighter, continues to be athletic, and continues to fight with a toothpick in his mouth for some reason. I think there's a lot of drama to be had in that fight. I don't think Henderson has proven that he is going to be the next GSP or the next Anderson Silva yet. I think he's certainly got the potential to be that juggernaut, but he's got a lot more challengers, credible challengers, to get through before we can start calling them that.
Now, what else happened on this UFC show?
Well, from top to bottom, it was a good card all the way down. Of course, the co-main event was Alexander Gustafsson defeating Mauricio Shogun Hua.
Yes.
Shogun really didn't have an answer for the length of Gustafsson. Gustafsson really controlled that fight for the entire 3 rounds. you know, I don't know. It looked like Shogun had a decent strategy come in, staying on the outside, trying to get in and take his shots, going for a submission. It didn't really happen. Gustafson just kind of smothered him. Too powerful, too big. Just really dominated that fight. And, you know, Shogun is not the Shogun we used to see. Now, that being said, is Shogun done? I don't think so. I think he's got some fights in him left. He's, you know, certainly he's battle-worn, but he's certainly got skills to challenge certainly the up-and-comers of the light heavyweight division.
All right, now I'm really trying to remember here because my mind is everywhere these days. What else happened on the show?
Well, the next fight would be Rory McDonald fighting BJ Penn.
Yeah, retiring BJ Penn. That's correct.
You know, officially BJ hasn't retired yet, but this fight BJ had nothing, absolutely nothing. Did not belong in that cage with Rory McDonald at all.
It's another legend going down, kind of like Chuck Liddell.
Well, except for the fact that BJ Penn just took it for three rounds, but he got, but make no mistake, he got beat for three rounds.
He was a glutton for punishment rather than Liddell, who would take a nap.
Yeah, Liddell would take a nap. BJ Penn at least went out on his feet. Rory McDonald is an absolutely very skilled fighter, very young, very talented. He's going to be a force. The problem with Rory McDonald right now is he has said he will not fight his teammate, who is GSP.
Mm.
So that kind of leaves him on the outside looking in right now. And he's sitting up there at probably has the next shot if he wanted it, except for the fact that, you know, right after this fight, we were all thinking Rory McDonald versus GSP, and GSP says, no, I don't want to fight. Well, and then there was GSP versus Anderson Silva. GSP says, I don't want to fight Anderson Silva. I want to fight Nick Diaz.
Oh.
So that's the fight that's been made.
So Nick Diaz is back in the picture.
Nick Diaz will be off his suspension in the next couple months, and so by the time GSP is ready for another fight, Nick should be ready.
Wow.
So that's
news.
That's the fight that's been made. Rory McDonald, on the other hand, called out Carlos Condit.
Why?
Who was the only... Well, he lost to Carlos Condit.
Oh, okay.
So he wants to avenge that loss.
I think he will.
Yeah, I think it's a very good chance he does. And that fight has been made. So for the next couple fights here, GSP versus Nick Diaz and Rory McDonald versus Carlos Condit. And I can get behind that. I'm not really a fan of Nick Diaz coming off a year-long suspension and getting a title shot. I think that's ridiculous. But
well,
whatever. You know.
GSP wants to shut him up, I do believe. Comes from.
Yeah, I believe that to be the case.
The thing is, he was outsmarted by Condit. So GSP is a better fighter than Condit, obviously.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. And that's why I don't really think I would rather see Nick come back here and try to pick up a win, because Nick's last fight was the loss to Carlos Condit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would rather him come in and pick up the win, prove that he can, you know, can win coming off that suspension, knock off all the cage rust, and let's go. But
it's
whatever. GSP is a big star. He wants Nick Diaz. Guess what? He gets Nick Diaz.
But it's very odd to come off a suspension and be in that high profile fight. What I mean, I guess a suspension is enough of a punishment, is the message they're sending.
Well, the message is, you know, well, there's two messages. The message is, if you're the champ and you're a dominant champ and you can make money for the company, you get what you want once in a while.
Yeah.
And the other fight is, too, this can make money. Nick Diaz provides enough drama and enough of a storyline that they can sell the fight.
Yeah, fair enough.
So that's really where we're at with that.
Fair enough there. Now, the last fight that was on the card, I recall this, there was a knockout of some type.
Matt the Immortal Brown knocks out Mike Swick.
Did he knock him right out of the UFC?
I don't think that he knocked him out of the UFC. Unless that's what Swick decides. Swick will have to make that decision. I don't think Dana White cuts him.
Oh, he's not getting cut. I didn't mean it like that. I just meant, is this it for Swick?
Yeah, duck his tail and run.
Yeah, I don't think he'll run. I think Swick will probably come back and try to fight again. But it firmly established whether or not Swick's going to have enough to come back and be a contender. And I think that's been definitively landed on the side of no at this point. Now, Matt Brown won his last 4 out of 5. I think he's on his way up, making yet another comeback in his career. We'll see if he takes up another step up in competition and can keep on that track. He's a very dynamic fighter. He's got skills on all aspects. He can be a force, but whether or not he has enough skill in any of them to actually move up the ladder, we'll have to see.
Yeah, very well there. Now, of course, this weekend was very busy for UFC. We'll talk more about this later on, but what was the big fight for UFC?
This weekend?
Or last weekend, since you weren't on. There was something going on some weekend. I'll put it that way.
Well, I think this weekend we had the finales of two Ultimate Fighters. The Tough Australia, the Smashers, as they called it. And they also had the finale of the Ultimate Fighter Season 16, which was headlined by the fight of Roy Nelson versus Matt Mitrione.
Now, Mitrione knocked out with a vicious uppercut, and it was nasty.
It was beautiful and nasty. Yes.
Now, This is kind of a double-sided question. Where does Mitrione go from here? Obviously, he's not ready to fight past a gatekeeper. And is Roy Nelson done being a gatekeeper? Is he ready for contention?
Is he in fact a keymaster? No, nothing, really?
Yeah. I think it's Ghostbusters. Yes. You've made that joke before, Dan.
I know. I will continue to make it until someone laughs.
That's why you got nothing. Mitrione will probably have to go back down and fight another lower-level fight. I don't think he's done. I think he's athletic enough to make some more waves in the division. As far as Roy Nelson, no, I really don't think he gets off the gatekeeper status yet. Mitrione was not that much of a name to elevate him that much. Roy needs to prove that he can take on a more elite fighter and beat him. Does he get Frank Mir? Maybe.
Hmm. Well,
that's a possibility.
But
Cormier.
Well, but Cormier would probably be the better fight. Frank Mir, I just don't see as – I see him as another gatekeeper.
I agree. I tend to agree with you, but if you can get that level, upper-level gatekeeper, fight another upper-level gatekeeper, then you can at least make the argument that the winner gets a step up to back up to the elite.
Are they called gatekeepers because they keep drawing?
Well, no, because they're the ones – There's still tiers, even in MMA. You know,
right.
There's the lower-level card guys, and then there's the guys that are in contention. And the gatekeeper is kind of, like, right there. Like, Clay Guida is probably the prototype for a gatekeeper. They're right there. They're a great fighter, but they just, once they get to the dance, they just can't do it for whatever reason.
Like
so then,
a curtain jerker in wrestling.
It's more important than that.
More of like an upper mid-card for someone.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. All right. Gotcha.
Someone who's the equivalent of like an intercontinental champion.
I would say think of Kane.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Kane would be a gatekeeper. You beat Kane, you move on.
And Kane stays where he is.
Well, traditional booking. Kane and you move on. But then again, booking these days, it would be you beat Kane and then Kane beats you the next show. So it means nothing.
And then you become tag team partners.
Yeah, or that, yeah.
Gotcha. All right, cool.
Yeah.
That was a legit question.
Yeah.
To clarify sometimes.
But so there was a lot of action, a lot of great action over the weekend. We'll talk more about it a little bit later on. But what I want to do now, I believe it's time that we've all been waiting for.
Oh, no.
It's an epic Christmas with the Knight Rider, Robert Knight.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive a King.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in one horse open sleigh. Hey!
Silent night, holy night.
One man can make a difference.
The views and the opinions expressed by the Knight Rider, Robert Knight, are not those of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio or New Moon Rising Wrestling. Happy holidays, Robert. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fantastic, and you guys top my intro every week. That was unbelievable.
We have a hell of a
right out of my CD player. Right out of my CD player, and that album was only released in Germany. I don't know how you guys do it.
I don't know how we do it either, Robert. I'm telling you. Oh, my goodness, Robert. So let's just start off right from the top. Of course, this past Saturday was December to remember, New Moon Rising Wrestling returned, and you hatched a master plan.
How
I don't
did
know.
You get Glenn Storm's Hollister Punk Rocker in your pocket? That's all I want to know.
You know, Glenn Storm's and I go way back, and I pulled the wool over everybody's eyes on that one. I faced him in his last match before his hiatus with New Moon Rising Wrestling, and we stayed in close contact. He told me, "Knight Rider, you're a better man than the Roughneck. If you ever need any assistance, I got your back." And I knew the Roughneck was up to no good, so I said to myself, let me just have a backup plan. Everything unfolded beautifully in front of a packed house at the Proving Grounds, and the Roughneck found out once again that you can't cross a hero's path without paying the price.
So, I mean, what is your goal now? Just to tear this guy apart? I mean, he doesn't have much left, it seems.
I mean, he should have just announced his retirement. He would have saved himself the beating that he got last week. But, I mean, it's up to him. As far as my plans, what I'm going to do is stand side by side with Glenn Storms right now. We're a new group, a new society, if you will, and we're going to reign supreme over New Moon Rising Wrestling. It doesn't matter if I'm in the ring, if he's in the ring, if it's a team, it doesn't matter. We're going to get things done.
You know, I you know what? I have to back you up at that point, because you tried to apologize to him on our show right in front of me, and he would not take that apology. You tried.
The guy wouldn't even look at me. He wouldn't even look at me. He could have saved himself all this trouble.
He certainly could have. Now, how does it feel, though? Finally, do you think this time he learned his lesson? Do you think he finally shut up the fat neck?
I mean, I certainly hope so. But then again, if you saw the people that were in attendance, I mean, instead of cheering for a hero, those people were going crazy over that guy. They're going nuts. They're cheering for a guy. They're saying they're part of his Roughneck Nation. And the guy just goes out and gets his butt handed to him once a month. I mean, I don't know if there's something wrong with the people or something wrong with him.
Well, they were all Castellucci fans.
Yeah, they were there to see Castellucci.
That's true.
Well, I mean, what can you expect from... Yeah, I mean, Deptford's Finest showed up for that show.
Well, you know, Deptford's Finest didn't, Dean, and they should have when Tank Tolan did what he did to you.
I wasn't even going to bring that up. Now you really lit a fire under my my butt. I'll tell you what. All I wanted to do, and I was going to cut Tank in on the deal, but he's a dummy. I was going to take those toys and sell them on eBay. It was a very profitable situation I saw. And what happens? I'm in there. I'm trying to get the toys.
And you got knocked on your butt, and he didn't even have to touch you.
He did touch me.
No, he didn't touch you.
He did, and I got the footage to prove it.
I saw it, too. Dean, I don't know how you're even talking right now, being in the neck brace that you're in and everything. It's got to be tough, but, you know, your show is the hottest show going right now because WWE has The Miz interviewing Kermit the Frog as we speak. I mean, would you rather watch that or see the Dean of Credibility and
Hold
Dan
on,
Wall
guys,
interviewing
right
the Knight Rider?
I'll be right back. Hold on.
Oh, knock it off, Dan. Now, I'm glad you brought that up because during the show, I guess it was maybe the adrenaline rush or something. My neck wasn't hurting all that bad, but now I can barely move side to side. And I got to look out behind my back. I don't know.
You're going to have to. You might have to have bodyguards next month. I mean, you got to keep an eye on Tank Tolan because that guy is a spotlight hound, and he'll do anything to stay in the spotlight.
Even getting the rub off of me, I'll tell you. Tank Tolan.
Exactly.
What a dummy. Now, I have the first fan mail letter here. We only got one this week, so here it is. Dear Knight Rider, I just want to say that I brought my son Rico to his first ever live wrestling event this past Saturday at the Proving Grounds, and we both loved it. You were by far my favorite wrestler, as well as the most entertaining person of the night. There's no doubt in my mind that what you and Glenn Storms did to that no-good American Roughneck, he had coming to him. Can't wait to see what you guys have in store for New Moon Rising Wrestling in the future. Thanks for being a hero and signing my son's 8x10 that he purchased at the phenomenal price of $5. Wish you the greatest of holidays, Sven from Cape May Courthouse, New Jersey.
Sven, I mean, you got to be a good guy if your name is Sven for a while. You didn't even have to read the letter. You could have just told me the guy's name. I know he was a great guy. Sven, thank you and thank Rico for coming out. And I want to thank everybody else who packed the Proving Grounds to see the Knight Rider. And I also want to let everybody know with our event coming up on January the 19th, Brawl for It All, you can go on nmrwrestling.com and get your tickets in advance, and I strongly suggest that you do because you guys know as well as I do that once the show began, we were out of chairs. I mean, it was standing room only, so you want to make sure you have your seat reserved for this one coming up because I can guarantee it's going to be the same thing January 19th.
Well, of course, the main event has already been announced. Don Warren, he should have his head examined because the Me Society, and I'm happy about this, the Me Society will have control over New Moon Rising Wrestling, as the Me Society, and that is Jake Bishop, Justin America, the new United States Heavyweight Champion, and the Untouchables, putting up all the gold against the team. Can you even call this a team? You have Tank.
Dysfunctional family.
Yeah, Tank the Dummy Tolan, a guy who hasn't upgraded since 2000, Mike Reed. And stronger
with marshmallows.
Yeah, stronger than ever in quotation marks, Fusion DS. I don't know.
That whole team is full of bonds that can't be broken as far as I'm concerned.
That's for sure.
Line of the night goes to Robert. 2 weeks in a row.
That's for sure. Now, I believe, Robert, you have a special guest lined up for us. And
I do. It's the holiday season. I've been working on this with this guy for weeks. I'm going to see if I can get him to speak, but I have to let him inside Kit because he's standing outside the car right now. His hair's wet. He's wearing a wife beater, and he's got cut-off shorts on, and I know he's freezing, but he wants to read this very special presentation to you guys for the holidays. So I'll be back when he's done. I'm going to introduce everybody to my good pal, Breaker. Let him
All right.
Kit. Hello?
Hey, is this a Breaker?
Yes, it is.
All right, Breaker. Now, I understand you have a poem you want to read us.
Okay, I'm going to read this poem. I wrote this poem. It's an epic poem. "'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the ring, Tank Tolan was pumped to hear Jillian sing. The yards were all covered with snow and some leaves, and New Moon was thrilled to be free from the thieves. Santa was coming, from what I could tell, as I talked to Dan Law from Hell in a Cell. He brought DVD players, the ones that record, so he could see for himself, not Captain Dave's report. Speaking of the captain, he left Santa T with hopes his photographer would get in for free. I'm not part of New Moon, but I'm a fan of sorts, till they open their doors to cut off camo shorts. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, it sounded like Roughneck once again went splatter. And what to my wondering eyes should appear but the Me Society with all of their belts and their gear. They said they had a message but wouldn't do it alone, so they called Robert Knight with their shiny iPhone. Robert was just about to hang up his sock as he shared Christmas cookies with Anthony Rock. Jake Bishop and Justin, the Untouchables too, all shared Christmas wishes to all but a few. Then Santa appeared, this time it was real, and Joe Hale came along with hopes of a feel. He called out to Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, and Vixen. To hell with the rest, that's not Santa, it's Dean Dixon. He was dressed all in black, because that's all the rage. And he spread Christmas cheer and said, fuck Danny Cage. He had but one gift, about the size of a fiddle. It was a brand new ref shirt, folded right down the middle. So this Christmas Eve, while you're pumping your septic, remember what Breaker said, make your Christmas epic.
Oh, Breaker, are you still there with us?
Yes, I'm here.
I really didn't know you had it in you to write such...
It was so beautiful, and it made such poetic sense.
Orators of the past, Breaker, could not have come up. Homer would be jealous of your effort today.
My effort, my speech only comes once a year. Any other time that you hear me, I will not be like this. You're welcome.
Lennon McCartney couldn't have written something that good.
Oh, my goodness. Breaker, thank you so much for joining us and reading that epic poem of yours.
Thank you. I'm going to go back outside. I'll put Robert back on.
Thank you, Breaker. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Exciting as always.
I have some PBR for you.
Great job, pal. Was that good or what, guys? Come on.
My goodness. Now, how much did you help Breaker along with that?
I mean, he's been studying. You know those flashcards they have in kindergarten? We were working on those. We were studying our cursive letters and everything, because that thing was handwritten.
Handwritten. Now, was it written in calligraphy? Or?
I don't know. I just know he had a spray bottle in one hand and a pen in the other.
I do have one question to off track for a second. What do you have? What do you have to say, Robert, about the return maybe of Moose Moretti?
I mean, that should have been the top of the show today. I mean, he's not stooping to the level of saying he's got to sell T-shirts yet, but I mean, he can come as the Madman or the Moon Dog.
I'll make sure
we haven't seen the Moon Dog just yet. Well, that's an original gimmick too. But the Moon, we can have the Madman, we could have Moose, we could have the Moon Dog, or he may resurrect the Chain Gang.
Oh, yeah, the Chain Gang. That was a big team he was in, I do believe. Now,
you know, I told him the right guy to get in touch with if he's looking for work is Captain Dave. He'll send him in the right direction.
Now,
crap.
Oh, Madman Moose Reddy, if he does come back, I just hope he doesn't take those strolls to the ring that he was so famous for and just lean there.
I'll make sure
I have
my...
That's the only guy that I think Roughneck could outlast in a standing contest is Moose, because that guy's got some equilibrium problems like you've never seen. He'll knock Aunt Connie's socks off.
I just want to know where the standing contest went.
Now, Robert, we have to get a little serious here. Looking ahead.
I'm ready.
Looking ahead to Brawl for It All, who do you have your eyes set on for this new tandem that you guys have? It's you and HPR, a new society, as you're calling it. Who are you setting your sights on?
I mean, I'm pretty sure Roughneck's out of the picture now, so we don't have to deal with him. I mean, the door's open. Anybody that wants to sign the dotted line, like I said, it could be tag team, it could be singles action. The only thing I can promise is where you see one of us, you're going to see the other. So anybody who does decide to take us up on that challenge needs to have eyes in the back of their head.
Now,
because the Knight Rider's quick.
You don't have any allegiances with the Me Society?
No. I'm still, Glenn and I are good buddies, but I'm a young loner. I'm always going to be a loner.
Gotcha.
I have a caller.
Oh, no.
And it's a Philadelphia number.
Oh.
So I'm going to put the caller on.
Oh, no.
All right, caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Oh, hold on.
Stealing my gimmick. It's Brady Hicks.
That's easy to do, Dean.
Oh, it's Brady Hicks. Brady, how are you?
I'm doing great, Dean. How are you? Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yes, happy holidays.
Thank you. You're
on the line, Brady, with the Knight Rider, Robert Knight. I know how impressed you were with how quickly he dispatched of the American Roughneck. Go ahead and praise him now.
Well, you know, I'm still waiting for that apology that was coming. I was a little confused there.
Apology?
No, Roughneck was the one that was confused because I was ready to apologize. I gave him an opportunity, and all he wanted to do was run his mouth and said he had a contract signed. So I took him up on it, and I did go out and find a partner. Unfortunately, it was the guy who he thought was his partner. Checkmate, Roughneck.
I don't know, Robert, how you feel, but I feel like I feel a little bad for Roughneck. I think these guys keep turning on him, and it's a shame.
I mean, there's not a lot of friends in his neighborhood. I don't know what can the guy do.
Oh, does he live in a neighborhood?
Roughneck kind of.
I mean, he.
I don't know either. I'm kind of.
Doesn't he just sleep next to a motorcycle?
Well, his motor is...
That's who his partner should have been. If the motorcycle was his partner, he could have jumped on it and rode off into the sunset like Buck Wrangler. But the fact of the matter is he stayed and took a beating.
Speaking of Buck Wrangler, I'm going to be on a search for Buck Wrangler pretty soon.
No,
I can't wait for that.
Is that one going to take you 3 weeks and then you just come back and quit?
No. That's what Mark Thompson does.
Okay.
Marco Thompson... Do you have any fond memories of Marco Thompson, Robert?
No.
The one thing that sticks out in my mind was signing his 8x10, because he did purchase.
He did.
Robert Knight signed 8x10.
Yes, he did. I forgot.
He didn't
about
take
that.
Me up on the 2-for-10. It was not a 2-for-10. It was a $5 deal, and he didn't have change. And being the kindness out of my heart, I waited for the guy to get a 5, and I still let him keep the picture.
Yes, indeed.
He was probably drunk.
Yeah, they used to sell beer there at the Woodbury Post. So, that is a possibility.
Hey, can I have a picture? Can I have a thing? Picture?
He was so worried about that, too. To take it back to that, he was so worried because he was like, I still haven't paid Robert. The show's over. We're outside, and he's like, I still haven't paid Robert. I have to give him his money. He's going to think I'm a jerk. I'm going to give the show a bad name. Do you have a 5? I got to go. It was so funny. It was so funny. I miss the guy.
Can I have a 5, please?
Nah, it wasn't that bad yet. It was only like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But
I had three.
Because those 2 o'clock start times. That's just genius.
Anyway.
That's how we do it in Westville, bud. Do our shows in the afternoon and then go to the real shows at night and try to steal the talent, bud.
Best thing I've ever heard in my life.
Now, Brady, do you have a question for either Robert or Larry?
Do you have a question for Larry?
Breaker's still here, too. He's standing out shivering outside of Kit.
I want to know why Larry Breaker and Robert are hanging out in the same place.
Because it's the holidays. We all come together as one.
Brady, you got a question?
I can't wait to listen back to the Breakers' Christmas special. I was hoping that I would have caught that, but I guess I just missed it.
You just missed it, Brady. It was
HIAC.
It was epic.
It really was.
HIACTalkRadio.com.
Yes, yes.
Was it legend, Barry?
It was awesome.
Cool.
Awesome and epic.
It was so exciting.
Go ahead, Brady.
I'm sorry. No, I had American Roughneck on in the room last night. He had been confronted by one of my listeners, and this listener issued him a challenge, and he came ready to fight on my show, too, but the guy no-showed. So American Roughneck just proceeded to plug the Raw for It All in January.
So why would Roughneck want to fight Lex Luger?
What's that?
Why would Roughneck want to fight Lex Luger?
He didn't. He wanted to fight Harry Barnett. Nobody wants to fight Lex Luger. Are you crazy?
Yeah, it was a joke, Brady.
I'll slap Lex Luger in the mouth just like I did Pete Doherty.
He did punch Pete Doherty in the mouth.
Good, Pete Doherty.
He showed up for some tryout. I don't know what was going on, but I don't know what that was talking about. He had a few missing teeth, and I tried to knock the last two out.
Did you find any heroin?
The last time I saw Pete Doherty.
I didn't want to look.
The last time I saw Pete Doherty was at the MF-er tryouts. And there was a back door there. He was just wandering the streets of Gloucester City. I don't know where he was going. Probably in search of a bar. But I was out there with Andrew McAllister, who came from St. Louis, and we both commented, maybe we should go check on his condition. He doesn't look quite right.
That's what I go for.
I proceeded to finish my cigarette, throw it the butt onto the street, and walk back inside. And I made a new friend that night with a large, muscle-bound man. He was there trying out. Friends. Good friends.
Were the lights on or off, or were they on, off, on, off at the time of the tryout?
They were flickering a bit.
There was a guy standing by the front door going, all right, wrestle.
See, unlike the professional companies out there, New Moon, I mean Monster Factory, does not have someone that is guarding the light switches. We have guards, okay? We're not going to go through that again, are we, Robert? We're going to make sure the lights stay on.
Exactly. Everything is done professionally now. You know, it's been, the past three shows have been tremendous, and December to Remember was our best yet. I know we're going to keep growing. Brawl for It All coming up January 19th is going to be spectacular. And for those people out there who have yet to see a New Moon Rising wrestling event, you can check out our YouTube channel. You can see the Scoop Slam, you know, hosted by the Dean of Credibility and Brady Hicks, and you'll get a preview as well as a review of some of our past events and a preview of our upcoming events. All you got to do is search for NMRW Inc. on YouTube, and you'll find our channel.
Yes, and there's going to be another one coming out Friday with our thoughts of December to Remember. So I can't wait to see that.
I'm looking forward to it.
Now, Robert, where can the fine people find you?
They can find me at RobertKnight_. You can also find me in a town near you, tracking down the bad guys. And on the New Moon Rising Wrestling fan page on Facebook, which has been blowing up. And we actually had some really cool reviews from fans who came to our shows for the first time this past Saturday, who were more than happy with the event And like I said, it's only the beginning of things to come. 2013 is going to be a massive year for New Moon Rising Wrestling.
Off the charts, that's what I would say. Robert, it's time for the catchphrase.
Well, I think we prove once again tonight that one man can make a difference.
Robert, happy holidays. I'll see you next year.
Happy holidays. Sounds good, you guys. Have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Robert.
Happy holidays, Robert. Epic. Epic, guys.
Epic.
Brady, you're still there with us, aren't you?
I am, sir. Yes, sir, I am.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I have a caller, so I want to see who this is.
I'm leaving.
Okay. No, let's see.
Is it John from Rhode Island? Because I build bridges.
No.
How are you doing, bud?
All right, caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Oh, this would be the American Roughneck.
Oh.
I love it.
It just gets better and better for me tonight.
How you doing, bud?
Hey, how are you? Brady, how are you? Nice to see you again.
Very, very good. Very, very good to talk to you again, American Roughneck. Thank you last night for coming on. It was a pleasure.
As anticlimactic as it was fun.
All right, let me break this in here right away. What's up with you and this dude, Harry from UK?
I have no idea. The guy just does not know when to stop. Now he's blaming me for having somebody run him over with a car or something. Yeah, I don't know how dangerous that could be in England, because you ever see the little cars they drive?
Yeah, good point.
Like, in England, what they do? They ran it across the carpet a couple times backwards and went out of what?
In England, don't the cars have the right of way? That probably means that Harry was playing in traffic.
Which he can do.
I was going to say, Harry probably does play in traffic.
I'll leave Harry alone. This is despicable.
I have no idea what's wrong with the guy. I just saw his picture on Facebook. He wants to be the Roughneck. He wants to look like the Roughneck. He shaved his head, but he ended up looking like a friggin' light bulb with two huge ears.
I don't think anybody wants to look like you. I think you're going a little overboard there, Fat Neck.
Oh, no. He wants to be the Roughneck. That's all I can come at.
Now, come on, Redneck. Let's just be serious here for a minute. What's coming up? What's coming up for you coming up Brawl for it all?
I'm not sure at this point. They have not let me know what's going on. I'm hoping they're going to sign me against that no-good backstabbing Glenn H. That dude with the blue hair.
Hey, let me ask you a serious question. I was there. The bat barely missed your head. Did you feel the wind blow?
Did I feel the wind? I think it. Yeah. No, I felt that. That was about as close to lights out as I've ever been.
I mean, when you're standing there and you hear the whizzing going by, it's way too fast.
Yeah, there was a couple loud pops in that audience. One was the crowd for it, and the second was my butt slamming shut at the time.
Brady, do you have something for the American dummy?
You better watch him. You do know.
Yeah,
you
better watch
him.
You're going to get yours.
You're not in England there, Dean.
Ow, my neck. Go ahead. Go ahead, Brady.
There's a part of me that wishes that I were a wrestler, because I would love to be in the American Roughneck's corner, because I feel bad for the guy. Every time he entrusts somebody, they turn their back on him.
Look, I'm going to tell you right now, trust, I've been too liberal with trust. It's been given out way too easy. From now on, anybody in that locker room wants to hang with the Roughneck, they're going to have to earn my trust. I'm keeping everybody at arm's length. And Dean, if you say T-Rex on arm's length, I'm
that's not
you.
Too far. I was. It's going to be pretty close
awful.
To you.
Dean, I only hope that I'm there to see this happen.
How does one go about earning the American Roughnecks trust? What do you have to do, like a trust draw or like a trust ball?
We are treading new territory, and I'm going to have to figure it out as it goes.
Oh, I know how. Make that person wrestle Madman Moose Ferretti.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. I don't wish that on anybody.
He wants to come back.
I mean,
he wants to come back to what?
He wants to come back to New Moon.
Oh, that would be why.
He posted today on the event page, Roughneck.
Did he really?
Do you want the Madman or do you want the Moon Dog? That's what he said. But Roughneck, wrap it up. I gotta move it along here, Roughneck.
Well, all I gotta say is come out to New Moon Rising Wrestling. Go to our webpage at newmoonrisingwrestling.com. Look up the parties. We throw one hell of a party for birthdays and adults. It's just not only children. You would not believe this. We have custom cakes, party packages. You just got to check it out. It's just mind-blowing.
Mind-blowing. And it's not newmoonrisingwrestling.com. It's mrwrestling.com. Dummy.
You're all right. Well, I'll take the dummy this time. I did mess up. I'll give you that, but you are treading on thin ice, dude.
Oh, thin ice. If I'm treading the thin ice with you, I'm falling through.
Let's just Roughneck. All you got to do is just yell boo and he'll fall down.
Oh, not at all.
Apparently, he just...
He punched... He put his hands upon me.
He did not. I was right there getting the PBA president into the ring, and you tripped, just like Robert did right before they were losing his...
You totally just tripped on your own, Dean.
He did.
I know who's behind this, and I'm not happy with the people involved.
There wasn't anybody else in the ring that assisted you with falling down and go boom.
Anyway, I got to move it along. We have our next guest, Roughneck. Thank you for joining
us. Hey, who's the next guest?
It is the unified ECWA champion, Chris Wilde.
Oh, nice. I'm hanging on.
Okay, I'll put you on hold, and you can listen on.
I'm
going to
do that.
All right, so Roughneck's on hold. Brady, I'm going to keep you on there in case you have a burning question for Chris, and
okay,
we'll be right back.
Just so you know, my phone might die, but if it doesn't, I'll be here.
You get first question.
I don't have a question. I got to think.
Chris, welcome back to the cell. You are live with Dan, Dean, and Chris.
What's going on, guys? It feels great to be back in the cell.
All right. Happy holidays, Chris.
It's you, too.
All right. Now, Brady, he's here. He's still with us. First question goes to Brady Hicks of Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
All right.
What's going on, Chris? How you doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. How was that for a first question, Dean?
I'm only kidding.
Hey, Chris, you've been through a lot of challenges the last couple months. Is there like an opponent that you can't wait to sink your teeth into next?
Josh Daniels on the 5th.
Again?
You're
ready for him again? You don't want somebody new?
Man, honestly, I've looked up to Josh my whole career. I just watched him and seen some of the stuff he's done. And I was really anxious to get into the ring with him the last month that we faced. And it went way better than anything I could have imagined. And I honestly can't wait to get in there with him again in a submission match. It's going to be interesting.
All right. Now, okay, I'm sorry, Brady. You had a follow-up?
No, I just definitely agree with that. That should be interesting.
I mean, you've seen Josh, and you know that he stretches people for a living. Like, his whole career has been about submissions. In ECWA, you know, I've won my match with the Taz Mission, which I'm now calling the 50 Shades of Pain. And I've done some submission moves, but I'm not known so much as a submission guy. So this is just another challenge, man. I'm really looking forward to seeing how this goes, and I think the fans are going to love it.
Now, who hits harder, Papa Don or Josh Daniels?
Oh, boy. Yeah, you know.
I'm trying to get you in trouble here.
Yeah. Wow. I'm going to have to go with Josh on this one just because I'm facing him next month. That way, I don't know when I'll see a receipt from Papadon. Yeah, man, both of them, man. They're both very strong-style, stiff competitors, man. You know, after a match with them, you know that you've been in a wrestling match. It's and so does everybody around you, too. It's not fun unless you're a masochist.
No, right. Now, the last time we spoke with you, Chris, it was right after you won the Unified title. You described to us how that felt, the emotions that you had. But things were just getting started. At the K-Cup, you successfully defended the title against Papa Don. Now, how do you feel going back into that match, thinking about it again? How do you feel about that match? Because you prove at that point that you were not a fluke.
The second match with Papa Don, I think, was probably the best match I've had in my life. I got a chance to watch the DVD a couple weeks ago, and I didn't remember all the things that we had done in that match. I mean, it was, no pun intended, it was total nonstop action. You know, it felt good to get in there and hold my own against a guy that's been around for a long time, and is one of the best in the business. So, yeah, after that match, it was an awesome feeling, and I actually liked that second match better than the first one. If I was to have to show one match, it would be that one.
Okay, and then the following week, you were involved in a triple threat, not only with Papa Don, but, of course, Breaker Morant. Now, how was that? Because now not only do you have to worry about Papa Don, you got to worry about Breaker as well.
Yeah, and again, it's in a week. It was a week from the K-Cup match. So, you know, you're going from wrestling one of the best in the business to getting in the ring with not only one of the best in the business, but a brawler and a hard hitter that's been around for a long time too. So, man, it was a very stressful experience, to be honest with you. You know, and I don't like either one of those guys at the same time. So, you know, that was one of those matches that, like, if I had to do it again, man, I would try to find a way out of it.
If that wasn't enough, you went from that challenge to another member of Blackheart at the time, Bobby Shields. Now, how did you feel up against Bobby?
Like I said before, this, like, a lot of people got to remember, this isn't like a month, you know, 4 weeks from the triple threat. These matches are every week. And Bobby, I was looking forward to getting in the ring with. I've never worked with Bobby one-on-one. And he's actually a good friend of mine. So I was very excited to get in the ring with him. And I think we did some good things in there. My body at that point, from not just ECWA, but from, you know, working out and training, was definitely not at 100%. But, you know, that was a great match. And it was in a new area for ECWA in Sewell, New Jersey. And I think we blew the roof off the place.
And then just 2 weeks after that, you're in a four-way with Tony Mameluke, Papa Don, and your new rival, it seems, Josh Daniels. Now, what is the strategy going in a four-way with individuals like that?
Well, when you think about three-ways and four-ways, these aren't the kind of ones that I really want to be in, to be honest with you. but, you know, again, man, you guys have seen me for a little while. You know, I've known Dean for a year and Brady for a couple of years now. And it's like watching myself grow up in the span of 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got the least experience out of all those guys. So I'm going into the ring with Tony Mameluke, who's been everywhere. Papa Don, who's a rising star and has been around for a while. Josh, I mean, it was very overwhelming. There's really no strategy that goes into that, man. You just got to put your all into it. And at the end of the day, hopefully be better than the other three, which at that moment I was.
Now, it's been said you were the first and only champion in ECWA history to defend the title four times. It's unprecedented. Four times in 5 weeks. I mean, that's
right.
Really an accomplishment. It's unprecedented, especially in independent wrestling. How does that accomplishment make you feel?
It's nerve-wracking when I think about it, because the guy that held the belt before me had it for 560 days. So when I won the belt from Papadon, you know, he set the bar so high that the pressure was immediately on. And then to find out that I've got three title defenses, or four title defenses in a month, it was nerve-wracking, man. And these just aren't regular matches. I mean, the second match of Papadon had two referees involved in it. I was in the three-way with Breaker and Papadon, and then the four-way with Josh, Mamluk, and Papadon. So the only singles match I really had, it was just straight singles match with Bobby Shields. So, you know, it was nerve-wracking to make sure that I looked the part in all those matches.
Oh, I thought Dan was going to ask a question. I guess not. Now, the other question I have is you go in to this match with Josh Daniels in December 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think what that match you guys were trying to accomplish, you were trying to one-up each other, and you weren't going for pinfalls. Pinfalls were there, but you guys wanted the other one to quit. To submit. I mean, was that what you were going for personally? I know you can't speak for Josh, but was that your goal?
Well, I can tell you I can speak for him because we were in the ring and I felt it. I know he was trying to make me tap out, and I definitely was trying to make him tap out too. You know, I'm always trying to improve myself and surprise people, and you know, nobody would have seen me being able to make Josh submit. So that was the strategy I went with going into that match was, I'm going to do what he's least expecting, what everyone else is least expecting, and that was try to get him to tap out. And, yeah, that's why, you know, as you observed in that match, pinfalls were there, but, man, we were, you know, trying to prove ourselves in there, and that's the best way to do it when you make your opponent say, hey, I don't want no more. That's definitely the route I was going, and the route I'll be going on the 5th, too.
Now, that match was kind of overlooked, I think, with everything that happened after the match. Of course, we had Fusion. Apollyon and Rex Lawless. We had the return of Atu. And when everything's all said and done, it looks like there's this unlikely alliance between you and Papadon at this point, which blows my mind, at least.
Man, I wouldn't say it's an alliance. You know, because of what happened last time, I trusted him. I ended up leaving the arena on a stretcher. So we have a common goal, basically, you know. The enemy of your enemy is your friend, and that's the way it is in this case. You know, he's got a problem with that too, and I've got a problem with everybody. So, you know, we've got a common goal. Push comes to shove. You know, I've got his back on this one, but at the end of the day, we still really don't like each other that much, and we won't be going to dinner or exchanging Christmas cards this year.
Mm.
No Christmas cards. Now, are you afraid of getting into another feud with Blackhearts, or do you think you've got Blackheart figured out at this point?
Well, the feud's now there after last month, and, you know, it was funny because I kind of overlooked Joel Goodhart the whole time. I thought that Josh Daniels was finally back to being, you know, the Josh Daniels of old that was in it for himself, that wanted to prove himself, that wanted to be champion. And, you know, I kind of overlooked his fat shadow that was Joel Goodhart. And I should have known better, man, that it wasn't going to be that way. You know, I wouldn't have thought in a million years that Josh would be okay with Breaker interfering and all the Blackheart madness happening again. But apparently he is, and you guys have seen, you know, how I react to Blackheart. So, you know, they just threw gasoline on the fire once again.
All right, Brady, do you have anything for Chris? Are you there, Brady?
I think Brady is gone.
No, he's still there. Maybe he went somewhere.
Maybe
he went to
Brady,
the facility. I don't know. I hope not.
That's how much Brady likes you. Remember that next time.
Thanks a lot, Brady.
Yeah,
well,
thanks.
now he's gone. So maybe his phone,
died.
Yeah, maybe Papadon texted him and said he's going to slap him again if he talked to me. So who knows?
I'll buy that one.
Yeah, who knows? Now, of course, coming up January 5th, you have this big rematch with Josh Daniels. It's a submission match. Did you ask for that, or was that just something that Joe came up with?
That was actually a Joe idea. You know, and I like it personally, because there's only one way to settle this now. You know, like you said, people saw us going, trying to go hold for hold with each other, and this is the best way to settle this thing. So I'm perfectly fine with it.
And I know we've talked about it before with you, but really the transformation in this past year that you had, when you look back, when 2012 started, was it a goal of yours to actually accomplish everything that you've done in this year?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I've always wanted to be EWA champion. We've talked about that, like, a lot. I couldn't have, you know, it's my everyday goal to just improve. I think a lot of guys get complacent, and when they get to a certain point, stop wanting to improve and get better. And, you know, that was my biggest goal this year, was to improve, and I have, thanks to the people around me. When the year started, I said this is going to be the year of the Heart Killer. I want to be EWA champion. There's some other things that I want to do. And I've done it, and it's been above and beyond anything I could have imagined. And I'm going to continue to try to improve and be better for it.
Speaking of complacency, after wrestling month to month at the Boy and Girls Club in Delaware, does going to Carney's Point or Sewell give you a renewed feeling going into those matches? Or
Carney's Point's like a different atmosphere, man. It's like a different dimension. You know, those fans are nuts. I'm not taking anything away from our Newark fans, but those fans are absolutely crazy, and I love wrestling there. Sewell was a little bit different. You know, those fans hadn't seen wrestling in a little bit. But, hey, man, I love the EWA Arena in Newark. I've watched wrestling there since I was younger, and that's always going to be home for me, no matter what. Mm-hmm. You know, I get it's crazy. You know, it's like when I get in that arena, it's like I'm a different animal in there.
Hmm. That's interesting. So that's kind of like your home field. Like the Link is the home field for the Eagles. That's your home field.
Yeah, except I win at the EWA Arena.
Oh!
I'm an Eagles fan,
Bravo.
Don't get me wrong.
Bravo!
They're killing me this year, man. They're killing me.
Feel your pain. Hey, you know what? Go Flyers. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, can't. And Philly, it's just been a bad year for Philadelphia sports.
Mm.
So, it's been bad, but.
Yeah,
you know,
it really has. Yeah.
So, real quick, wanted to thank all the people that voted for me for PWI's Most Improved Wrestler.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to touch upon that.
Yeah, that kind of...
Yeah, what was that like, getting that nomination from Pro Wrestling Illustrated for Most Improved? I mean, you were the only indie guy on there.
Yeah, that came, like, out of left field. again, man, like, you know, just being in the magazine a couple years ago, when I first joined ECWA, just having my name in the rankings was like the coolest thing to me. And that magazine's done so much for me since then. I didn't see it coming because, like you said, like indie guys just don't really, unless it's for Rookie of the Year, indie guys really don't get put in that too much. So, and especially that nomination, I mean, the guys in it are all on TV, except for me, including, you had Adam Cole on earlier. He got nominated for it as well. But it came out of left field, man. It really humbled me a lot. You know, and, hey, I'm not expecting anything. Like I said, all the guys in it are on TV, you know, and they're seen by a bigger audience. But I'd like to thank everybody that put in the emails and supported me. Again, it's cool just to be nominated for that.
A lot's been said about you being the face of the company. And what I mean by this is how John Cena is the face of WWE. You are seen as the face of ECWA. You go to different appearances. You've done Special Olympics appearances. You've
right.
done appearances at Carney's Point to promote the company. I mean, how does that make you feel? You're the guy now for ECWA. You're literally the face of the company.
It's very humbling. And in my head, like, I don't really see it. I mean, it might be that way, but I don't see it that way because it's so... ECWA is such like a we're all tight knit like core of guys, you know, and we all do our part. But you know, since the first time that I saw ECWA, I wanted to be in it, and then when I got involved, man, I that was my goal to be the guy in the company, and it's just humbling. It's a very humbling experience that I could just have never imagined, and that's why you know I'm so adamant on doing whatever I can to promote the company. And you know, in February I think doing the Polar Bear Plunge and Rehoboth Beach for the company, and you know, it's
wow.
things like that, man. Anything I can do to promote this product, you guys have seen it, we all work hard, very talented, and you're looking forward to bringing this thing to new heights.
Now I think I already know the answer to this one, but what was the best moment for you personally in 2012 as far as the world of wrestling? What was the moment for you?
Oh, man. Getting in the ring with Papadon and winning the belt. You know, then being able to bring my daughter in the ring afterwards, that was definitely the moment for me. And, you know, it really didn't sink in until after the match, the bell rang. And, you know, a lot of the guys came out to celebrate with me. And I look up, and the first person I see is, like, Tony Mameluke. And I'm like, you know, oh shit, that's Tony Mameluke, you know?
Yeah.
And that's when it really set in. And that was definitely the moment for me. There's been a lot of great ones, but, you know, nothing will probably ever top that. Just fruition of a real dream. You know, I didn't need to go in there and act like it was my dream. It really was. So that was definitely the best point, not just this year, but my life, I think.
Wow.
As corny as that might sound.
No, that's not corny at all. I mean, because you train, you work yourself to a certain point, and to finally realize that dream, I mean, I think anybody can understand that.
Yeah, and you know, the guys that trained me and the guys that train with now, love them to death. They're really awesome guys. But, you know, I wasn't trained by guys that had a lot of TV experience. So for me to get in the ring with guys like Papadon and Daniels, and Mameluke, you know, that's almost like on-the-job training, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've learned a hell of a lot from those guys. And, you know, everybody on the roster that I've worked with, man, I couldn't be where I am right now without them.
Hmm.
So,
you're the champion of the company. You're the guy. You're the go-to guy, and you still have this humility about you. You're very humble about it.
Yeah, well, you know, and I would be a fool not to be because, you know, it's, again, man, it's as much as wrestling is individual, it's a team sport out there. And I take being the champion, I take that very personally. And I'm just thankful to be where I'm at, man. Like, you know, just because I'm the champion now doesn't mean I can't improve. I know where I came from. I know where I want to be. And, you know, 2013, man, if you thought you saw something in 2012, I'm just going to turn it up that much more.
That was my next question. What lies ahead for you in 2013?
He's turning up, Dean. You hear him?
Turn it up a little bit, man. Like, I think you're going to see a couple different sides of me in 2013. You know, obviously, ECWA's got some great things planned. Starting off the 5th and Josh Daniels. Who knows what this black card thing's going to, you know, what's going to happen with that. I also wrestle for a company in Maryland, Adrenaline Championship Wrestling. I just got done beating Robbie E for the 50th time. And and in March, I'm going to get in the ring with Christian York. So that, you know, that'll be cool. So I'm looking forward to, you know, just another breakout year and trying to do better than I did
you know, 2012 came, I said, I got to do better than 2011. I was Mid-Atlantic champion, and, you know, I wasn't satisfied the way that year ended. Now let's improve and see who I can get in the ring with and learn from and become each of the UA champion. And now, 2013, man, sky's the limit.
Anything that you would have done differently in 2012?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I would have, you know, I train hard and I work out hard, but, you know, I would have trained harder and worked out harder. You know, there's always room for improvement. So other than that, man, I think I made a lot of good decisions this year.
Cool.
Now, where can the people follow you on this journey? That's really something at this point for you.
Yeah, you can follow me at Twitter at @TheChrisWild. I also have a YouTube page. It's under my name, Chris Wild. Subscribe to that. Always some good stuff I got put up there. I put a lot of the matches and highlight videos and things like that up. And then on Facebook, search the Heart Killer Chris Wild. And, you know, I share a lot, not just my wrestling career, but, you know, I like to put up some family stuff from now and then and let you guys know who I really am. So.
That's Yeah, definitely, man. Congratulations, really, on one hell of a year you had, and best of luck for 2013 as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I hope to be on the cell, man, and more 2013.
Oh, definitely.
You let us know.
Yeah.
Whenever you guys want, I'm down. And I'd also like to thank you, Dean. A couple months ago, you wrote a really good article about the match I had with Papillon. And it was the last couple lines you said that being the first ever unified champion was something that, you know, no one could take away. And, you know, that statement, like, just sits in the back of my mind. That's, you know, I always think about that. You know, no matter what happens from here on, that's that one that, you know, no one can take. So I appreciate that from you.
Oh, well, thank you. Usually I'm the one spreading out the compliments, but thank you. I didn't know. I feel like George Bailey right now. You never know the impact you have on another man's life.
You can appreciate because this show's been on a journey itself. You guys, have Tully Blanchard on a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
Unreal. Awesome.
Yeah, it is. I think 2012 has been a banner year for a lot of people, and Chris, I'm just happy that we're on this ride together in a way.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But
hey,
Chris,
man, it's only going to get crazier from here.
That's right. Chris, thank you once again. Best of luck. And we'll talk to you very soon.
Thank you, guys. Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas as well.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right. That was Chris Wild. We'll be right back, Dan. Right, we're back. Dan, tonight has been magical in a way, with the return of Adam Cole, Chris Wild coming back.
Yeah, I was going to say, the return of Chris Wild.
What?
Return of me?
Well, yeah. But
yeah, I guess. Whatever. You don't even know your name.
That's true.
Yes, the return of Omega something. But no,
Transformer, Autobot.
What I'm taking out of this, these are two guys, you can say on two different levels. You have a guy, Ring of Honor, TV exposure, he wrestles coast to coast. You have Chris, who is the big fish in ECWA. But they're both so humble where they are, and that's really amazing because I've seen guys in other companies.
How you doing, bud?
I'm not even saying that, but I've seen people in other companies that just have this huge ego, and both these guys, who are really at the top of their game in their respective organizations, are so humble and so thankful.
Really, really. And it's nice to see that in return, we've done something for them, and that they've mentioned the fact that, well, just that article alone.
Yeah.
You know, something that stuck with him. And something like, you know, talking to Adam Cole and him, you know, and appreciating his match. It just, there's so many times I've said, you know, it's all give and no take, but there's been there's been plenty of give and take on both ends.
Yes, for old acquaintances. We're going to go to overtime, guys.
You know why they're humble is because they don't smoke cigars.
Probably. I don't know, Dan. Yeah. But anyway. I thought Omega Squad's head was going to explode there.
Stop
a minute.
It. He might not get that one.
But here's the thing. We were talking off air one day, and what'd you say, Omega? That you know a lost cause when you see one.
Yeah.
Yes. And that hurt me.
Why?
No, what? Not hurt. Let me finish for a second, damn it. It wasn't like you hurt my feelings. It hurt me like your father saying, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed.
Yeah.
It was like that. Like, yeah.
That was precise of the tone, though, so, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, well, I guess I suck as a human being. And I was like, damn it.
I've always said Omega Squad, Chris, is my moral compass. I go to him.
And where have you been tonight, dipshit?
No, it was funny. I can remember the election of 2004. I went off the deep end. I had a few different blogs. I went off the deep end. And Omega just wrote me a personal message, private message, whatever you want to call it. And he's like, calm down. We made it through the first 4 years. We're going to make it through the next four. And then you can vote. At the time, I turned it into a joke because I kept on. Do you remember this? How I was Hillary 2008. I was all about that for a while.
No, I don't remember that, but
because I was so upset about that 2004 election. Let me tell you,
watching the porta potty match from Bash of the Beach '99 where Macho Man dumped Dennis Rodman. Thanks.
Oh, Dan, you're making me
shut.
I live for that.
I know. I had to rush to find it, too. I was actually politically involved. I was at UNLV at the time. I was on campus. I was getting signatures. I was getting people registered to vote. I was never so excited. And never so disappointed.
So let down in your life.
Never so disappointed in my life. I was actually at the polls at 6 o'clock in the morning when they opened up in Las Vegas, Nevada. I was there. I was ready. And I was in line. I was in a huge line. There were about 1,000 people in this line to vote for John Kerry. Well, apparently not. But I was happy that I did vote for Senator Reid. But anyway.
You know, the first time I voted for New Jersey governor, and I voted for McCreevy.
Well, we see how that turned out.
I'm just saying.
Where's that 26 bell salute?
There's not a hole in Jersey you can't find.
Not after reading his book. No, anyway, Omega, we kind of went off the deep end there, but
head first into an empty pool.
I'll just be very honest. I didn't catch any of the action over the weekend. So get me up to speed. What were some of the highlights from USC this weekend?
Well, you know, we talked about Roy Nelson, that was, and Matt Mitrione. There was a lot of fights this weekend, not a lot of relevance in title pictures, with a couple of exceptions. On the Tough Australia, the Smashes finale, the main event was Ross Pearson defeating George Sutteropoulos by TKO in the third round.
Okay.
Pearson was moved back up to lightweight for this fight and looked really good, looked very strong against the long and rangy Sutteropoulos. Sutteropoulos really didn't have any kind of answer for Pearson's power. There was some scrambles on the ground in the first round, didn't really amount to much of anything, although they did with some good back and forth. Sotiropoulos at 35 is, I think, you know, we talked about, is Swick out of the UFC? I think George Sotiropoulos has to really think about his career now. He just did not look that good in that fight. The two finales, that the finals of the smashes, Robert Whittaker defeated Brad Scott and Norman Park defeating Colin Fletcher. You know, season 16 of the U.S. Ultimate Fighter. This is the first international Ultimate Fighter. They look good for young up-and-comers. Don't know where they're going to shake out in the grand scheme of things long term, but they'll probably be some decent international presence for the UFC to market. The biggest thing coming off of the Smashes card, in my opinion, was Hector Lombard, who was very well hyped coming into the UFC and ended up losing his first fight in the UFC. Absolutely destroyed Husamar Palhares.
Really?
Destroyed. And these are two guys fighting at middleweight that are just jacked to the gills, just really strong, just fire truck, fire hydrants of men. just
fire trucks, whatever.
Yeah, the proverbial brick, you know.
Poo house,
if you will. Lombard, it just has some nasty power, and he looked a lot better in this fight than he did in his first fight. I don't know if you want to call it octagon jitters, or
the octagon jitters. I like that.
He lost Tim Bosch in his first fight. Was it octagon jitters? I don't know, because Tim Bosch really isn't that good. But he did win. He did beat Harris decisively.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Shut up.
I'm confused now. Anyway,
he was playing the music underneath you.
I heard the music. I'm trying to figure out what it was. That anyway.
Well, no, you were just talking about how Paul Harris. Never mind.
Yeah.
Paul Harris used to be a good. Yeah. Well, I guess he still is a good fighter. He can put on a leg lock like anybody.
Absolutely. I think he can come back. Lombard. I was talking. Bosch isn't very good, but. Lombard, I think he's now proven that he can stand with some of the UFC's best. Let's get him up to speed. Is he ready for Anderson Silva? Don't think so. A couple more fights.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, but you know, his power will be something to reckon with. We'll see. And then on the Ultimate Fighter finale, the finale of the card, Colton Smith defeated Mike Ricci. This is a guy who kind of wrestled his way to a decision victory. He's got a nice story. He's a military guy, kind of like Brian Stann or Tim Kennedy. Trains with Tim Kennedy. So you got a good story there, but kind of depends on his wrestling. Didn't really have a good strike game. Mike Ricci was actually a lightweight, probably, fighting at welterweight, so was kind of out muscled in this fight. So we'll see if Colton Smith becomes something to talk about, or becomes yet another Ultimate Fighter winner that kind of gets lost in the shuffle, kind of like Jonathan Brookins, who lost to Dustin Poirier via Darce choke in the first round.
Has the Ultimate Fighter pretty much just been like American Idol, where like they win and they don't amount to anything?
No, I wouldn't say that. Griffin's.
I don't know.
Well, Forrest Griffin's a former champion. Stephen Bonner had a fairly good career. Well, I guess a mediocre career.
Let's say, how long is their careers?
Well, actually, I think it's a fairly apt comparison in my view, because all the good ones, on the American Idols, for example, all the good ones were early on, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first three, two, 1 to 4 seasons, that's where all the good fighters have been. Now they're few and far between. The ones that do come in just don't seem to be as good.
as their previous, as were in previous seasons. And that's just there's a couple reasons for that. I think one is the talent pool has been picked over. If you're good enough to be a elite fighter, you don't need the Ultimate Fighter to make it to the UFC.
Yeah.
So that's really the reason. And then those fighters don't really have a reason to spend 13 weeks in a house with with guys.
13 other a-holes.
Yeah, yeah. With no TV and no women. Yeah.
So, a macho!
Yeah, I mean, especially now with all the regional promotions, I think that would be more of a feeder than the first, like, four or five seasons, like you were saying.
Well, yeah, but yeah, especially but if you can get on, you can get on TV with like Bellator and do it actually fighting.
Yeah,
you know,
or Legacy Fighting Championships, which we're going to have our second interview, Omega, with another Legacy Fighting fighter.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
One opens the door.
Well, that's Steve Ocho Peterson in LFC 15, I believe it was. He just lost to Hobart, so that was that was kind of a grudge fight. It was a war, though. It was really good. He was in the last round. He had a point taken away from him for an up kick. Apparently, I didn't think up kicks were illegal, but apparently they were.
What's an up kick?
Well, it was yeah. I didn't see it. Was the other guy's knee on the ground though?
That was probably it. He did the sneaky thing where he kept the knee down.
Yeah, well, that's one of those things that's so maddening about that rule is like even if the guy's on top and if he's got his knee down, he's a down opponent. Even if you're on the on flat on your back, you know.
So one final question: Strikeforce is done soon.
Yeah, that final card will be first week of January.
And then that
second,
it's absolved into UFC or just gone completely? Like they're going to continue to run it or it's done?
Oh, it's done.
Strikeforce will be done. Some of the fighters will get absorbed into the UFC.
And others will likely never see the light of day again.
Right, really? Ugh.
Well, deservedly so. If you've seen some of those Strikeforce, for the most part, some of the Strikeforce, they were competitive fights, but they weren't on the level of a UFC. There were some stars there, like Henderson when he left the UFC. Dan Henderson, of course. Yes, Dan, I'll do it to myself.
Shut up!
Gotcha. But when he left the UFC... after he left the UFC at UFC 100... He went to Strikeforce and kind of found himself again in Strikeforce, came back, and he was going to have a match, a fight with Silva. Which,
John Jones.
Oh, John Jones, I'm sorry. John Jones, which has now become Lyoto Machida, apparently, in February.
Yes.
I don't know where we were. We missed the ball on that one.
Well, it's still up in, you know, Dana White, but it's still been up in the air about whether or not Henderson is healed enough to make that fight. Henderson says he is, so as of right now, the fight's on.
Cool.
But you know, it came out this week that Henderson was kind of missed because Ronda Rousey's first title defense has now jumped him on that card.
Oh, really? That's the main event?
That will be the main event versus Liz Carmouche.
So... Wait a second. This means that Dan Henderson, the icon of MMA...
Shut up.
He really is, though. But he's in the co-main event?
He is in the co-main event.
All right, I'm going to ask another... I'm going to ask another ignorant question. Has there ever been a co-main event with a female?
Well, this is the first fight ever. Women's fight ever in UFC, Dan.
And they're putting in the main event.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, it's a draw. I mean, she.
Yeah, I know.
There's a lot to be said about. Dan had made some very good points. The Liz Carmouche is not really considered a credible contender to Ronda Rousey. Everybody expects it'll be a first round armbar finish, and it'll be over quick.
Well, that's not hard to predict with her.
No. But
I wouldn't pay to see that.
But what's happened is you have a potentially very good fight between Lyoto Machida and Dan Henderson that has gone from five rounds now, being in the main event, to three.
Oh, you're right.
The legend that he is.
So, you know, Dan's like, well, we know, we're fairly certain. I mean, Ronda Rousey is a 9-1 favorite versus Liz Carmouche. We're fairly certain that's going to end quickly, and you're going to waste the main event slot.
Yeah.
On that fight, in his opinion. And where you could potentially have a 5-round fight between Machida and Henderson.
Yeah,
I can see it, but there's also nothing to say that the co-main event can't be 5 rounds either.
Well,
there's no rule that says that.
Well, true, but it would be unprecedented. It would be the first time. Maybe the way – I think Dana White is just going to get sick of Dan Henderson again, though. I mean, they've been very volatile in the past, so you think Dana might just say shut up and deal with it?
He might say shut up.
He may in this case just to say – well, as far as just say, look, we're just, you're just going to have to deal with it. And Henderson's going to have to take it. What's his other option?
Yeah.
Bellator cannot pay him that much.
Oh,
I don't think. Now, Bellator will be shelling out some money. They're going to offer Eddie Alvarez a fairly significant chunk of money because Spike TV is very behind getting MMA back on their channel.
Yeah.
So they're going to basically front Eddie Alvarez's salary for Bellator.
Wow. So big 2013 coming up. That's just some of the things coming up in 2013 for MMA.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're just, a couple weeks away from UFC 155, and that's Junior Dos Santos taking on Cain Velasquez, a rematch.
A rematch, yes, from the very quick UFC on Fox number one first fight on the Fox network for the UFC, first fight for on network television, quickly won by Junior Dos Santos. Should be a good match in theory if Cain has learned from his mistakes of that first fight. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, he got caught. That's all it was. He didn't pick up that huge right hand that came and knocked him out. Now, this week, the WWE picked up some great press. Basically, what happened, there was 7-year-old Connor Michalik. He was diagnosed at 3 with brain and spinal cancers in Pittsburgh.
Jesus Christ.
His only wish was for Christmas was to, of course, meet his favorite wrestler. And that is none other than Daniel Bryan. Bryan. So here is the meeting between the two.
Where's the Stone Crusher?
Yeah.
Is that you?
Yeah.
Oh, are you the tag team champions?
Yeah.
Oh, nice to meet you, Stone Crusher. Can you give me a high five? Oh, all right. What's going on? How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah? Who's this?
This is Jack.
Jack?
No, I'm Jack the Ripper.
His name's Jack the Ripper on there.
Jack the Ripper.
They have their own names on WWE.
Yeah. Are you guys the tag team champions together, or is it just you? It's both of you.
They
guys
fight over the belt like you guys did.
Yeah. Oh. Well, do you want to hold my title?
Wow.
Oh,
wow. You know how heavy.
Want me to hold your microphone for you?
Go ahead. Hold the belt.
Is that heavy?
You got it, right? Can you put it around your Oh, there you go.
You're strong.
There
buddy.
You go, yeah. Crusher, I have another special surprise for you, okay?
Okay.
Cain, come here.
No way.
You like Cain?
Yeah.
Stone, wow, he's got his own talent.
Yeah. This is Jack the Ripper. Cain,
Hi, Jack the Ripper.
This is the Stone Crusher.
Stone Crusher, what's up? Wow, so you guys think you're the tag team champion.
Yeah. Do you guys think you could beat us?
I could.
Yo.
What strength will you do?
Oh.
I could.
No, you want to put Jack in the no lock?
He's
at home all the time.
He's afraid of your brother.
Can you put me in the no lock?
I could put everybody in the no lock.
Really? Do you want to try it real quick?
Sure.
Do you want to see it?
Okay.
Yeah. Want me to take your belt off, buddy? So you don't hurt anybody?
Yeah, just don't hurt me. I have to wrestle tonight, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. You ready?
Show them how you do it.
He
knows how to do it,
so. Wow! That's pretty good. Oh,
It's actually really humbling more than anything else, because like just a normal guy, you know what I mean, from a small town, and it's like I don't know, I'm just really impressed by Connor in general. Like, it's just been cool, the community support for all of this. It's been awesome. And the YouTube video he made was just awesome. That was a great video.
No!
You can do it longer than me.
I could do it longer than you.
I think what I get out of that again is another guy, wrestler, guy that's tag team champion, former world
humble.
Champion, still so humble with his position of where he is. You guys agree?
I don't have words for that. That's go ahead, Chris.
No, it's you know, for all the flack that pro wrestling takes in the media, and WWE in particular in the media.
Yeah.
You know, you see, you get guys like John Cena, like Daniel Bryan, that do these make-a-wishes and all these
other
things. It's
day.
And you know, Tribute to the Troops was on just a couple hours ago. You know, these are great things that they do. And you know, WWE's out to make money. These guys are trying to make money for their families. But they're still giving back. Tremendous.
Yeah.
You cannot.
I just, with all the last week, quite frankly, was just a downer end of a week. And the stories like that just give you a little bit of hope for the world, I guess.
Well, it certainly brightens up.
When you have something so terrible like that, and you have somebody that doesn't have to, quite frankly, take time out of his day.
And Kane, too. Kane was there, too.
I expect the kid to go, I don't like Kane.
Yeah, but,
no,
you know.
No way!
But Kane was there, too, and very another guy who really, for the past, since 97, has been 97. A top guy.
Well, I mean, 97, he's been top guy, but how long has he been with the company? 94?
Well, in various different roles, but I'm just saying.
No, you're right. Since 97, he's been top guy doing these things every day in, day out. But he's been with that company so long, and, you know, he does what he does.
It takes a
special breed of person, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's really a feel-good story.
Now let's talk about how shitty Raw was. No.
Well, I didn't think it was, per se. But
no, I was kidding.
Yeah.
No.
A lot of people were crapping on it, though, but I thought, you know what? I see a lot of good things coming, you know, with the Shield. That's very good.
I'm very happy with that angle. Again, I hope it doesn't. I just say, as long as they don't draw it out, as long as they're drawing out the Aces and Eights thing.
I don't think they will.
The Ric Flair thing, how do you not mark out for Rick?
I didn't, actually.
I did.
And I'm a huge Ric Flair fan, too. And I don't know.
The interaction between him and CM Punk was very good.
Sure. That's what I mean. The segment was fantastic. I mean, CM Punk was just awesome in that segment.
I'm looking at the bigger picture. Flair being back can be a good thing, but it depends how they utilize his role.
He better not wrestle again.
Well, he probably will.
Oh.
He'll be involved in something.
Yeah.
Probably some type of Legends thing against the Shield. Who knows?
No, I meant full time.
Probably not. I can't see that happening. I say induct him into the Hall of Fame a third time just for the heck of it.
You know what? Induct him as Evolution.
Yeah, right?
No, seriously. Yeah. Triple H, Randy, he'll be dead 20 years, but he'll be the only guy inducted into the Hall of Fame three times.
That's right.
The only person conspicuous by his absence in this landing was Undertaker. I really expected him to show up.
Well, they did foreshadow his eventual return.
Who's he going to wrestle this year?
Should we start taking the bets?
Well, who do you think is going to be? Yeah, I'll start taking a bet. Rock?
No.
It's not going to be Triple H. It's not going to be number three.
Maybe Brock.
I was about to ask, to segue from MMA to wrestling, what's the story with him?
What do you mean? He's taken off until the new year to work out the rest of his contract, I would imagine.
Yeah.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
He's probably signed through WrestleMania, and then goodbye, or they'll re-sign him.
Right, but what is he? Why is he sitting on his butt doing nothing? Get back to work.
That was the deal.
He's only got a certain amount of dates, right?
Yeah, he only has to do a certain amount of dates, and
that must be nice.
Well, hey, if you signed a deal, Dan, if I signed a deal where I only had to work 50 dates, I'm working 50 dates.
No, I know that. I mean, it must be nice to be able to talk about the guys who signed that contract.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, pay this much. You only got to work 3 times.
He pops the ratings. Say what you will. I mean, it's an investment. And
no, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying if you want to pop the ratings, why did you not sign a contract and have him on the show more often?
Because you wouldn't have signed him otherwise.
Yeah,
that's
because
that's what Brock wanted.
That doesn't make any sense. Forget it.
Well, the only thing that I see that would be wrong with the road to WrestleMania, which traditionally starts at Royal Rumble to WrestleMania, of course, is that all these guys coming back, the Flairs and the Brocks and Rock, of course, it's going to overshadow everything that they've been building toward, which is the Shield and that new guy that looked like Monty Brown and all those guys.
You know,
I thought it was Monty Brown. I thought that was like Monty Brown's back.
You know, is it me or is the pendulum swinging again? You know, about a year ago, 6 months ago, the guys that were on top, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, now we're going to the guys getting pushed that are Ryback, this new guy.
Ryback.
Are we getting back to these larger-than-life, bigger, really muscular guys? Bring back Brock Lesnar, you know.
I'll tell you who was always my favorite, and I was pushing him from the beginning. Dolph Ziggler, good guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Dolph in that picture. Maybe they're working to that, but then again, like I said, it's a very valid point that Chris brings up.
I have him booked for New Moon.
Yeah.
We're buddies now. Didn't I tell
buddies,
you?
One picture, Dan, and
no. I got his number and everything. No, I got this.
Okay.
He's going to take the U.S. title, and he's going to drop it to Robert.
That would be a heck of an evening. But anyway,
break the bank.
I just think it's going to be counterproductive this road to WrestleMania.
I was thinking that. I hope you're wrong, because, like I said, the last few weeks I've been into it. So I'm kind of hoping it does not go the other way.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. The jury is out, but definitely a feel-good story to wrap things up here with the WWE back in the fold. Now,
let's never talk about them again.
Apparently, the next contestant for the ECWA Super 8 will be announced tomorrow, Dan.
Yeah, and the rumor is it's a former WWE, not a former WWE, it's a WWE alumni.
Well, that could just be about anybody, couldn't it?
Well, who are you thinking?
Who am I personally thinking?
Since I asked you, I would like to
Well, knowing a few things about budgetary concerns and things of that nature, it can't be someone that you would obviously want to be there. It's
right, that's why I was asking you. Like, it's not Gold Dust.
No.
It's the Boogeyman.
Well, because if it was...
Oh, Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I really can't say. I'm thinking someone along the lines of, like, the Headbangers. Because they're fairly local.
But they don't draw. I've seen that.
Well, besides not drawing, you have to give them Phillies tickets, and it's, that's opening week, so Phillies tickets would be a little more expensive.
Hmm.
But that's neither here nor there. But the big announcement coming tomorrow, the next competitor, of course, the first competitor, Dan, is Damian Dragon.
Damian Dragon, good man. He's my pick this year. End of story. Boom.
We'll see. A lot. Damian Dragon We're going to have him on January 2nd.
By the way, talking about real quick, independence back to WWE. Is
okay.
The Boogeyman back?
Who cares?
I liked him.
I don't know.
I care. There's the answer to your question, big shot.
Well, you know, I saw just today they're talking that Shelton Benjamin may be on his way back.
Oh, there you go.
That would be cool.
If Shelton Benjamin
cares,
coming back, then
right?
that would free up Charlie Haas. Perhaps he's the former.
There you go.
The former alumni that's going to the Super 8.
Now I'm glad I am.
Anyway, Dan. Not the Hummies, please. You can also who did we have on, Dan?
Adam
Cole.
On
a lot of good people tonight, didn't we?
We had Adam Cole. You follow him at Adam Cole Pro on Twitter and his website adamcolepro.com. We had the current and defending unified ECWA heavyweight champion, Chris Wilde. I believe it's at thechriswilde.com.
Yes, Chris Wilde.
At the Chris Wilde on Twitter, WYLDE.
And just search for Chris Wilde, spelled the same way, on Facebook.
Facebook, that comes up. We had the Knight Rider, Robert Knight, and two special guests, some guy named Larry and some guy named Breaker.
Breaker.
It was wonderful. And you
epic.
Call him at Robert Knight _?
Yes.
And
of course
FCX.com.
Yeah, of course the website is nmrwrestling.com, ROHwrestling.com. You can follow Adam Cole's journeys through that company. He has big things going on with Matt Hardy. And of course ECWAProWrestling.com. The announcement will be tomorrow
morning, I think.
Now, next week, Dan, we and Chris, I'm assuming you'll be here for the whole show, Chris. It's one of those special moments.
Chris.
It is one of those special moments.
We're
going to
look.
I'm planning on being there.
We're going to look back at the year that was in MMA, the year that was in pro wrestling, and independent wrestling. So a lot of big stuff going on there. We're going to give out.
Oh, and there's a lot to talk about.
We're going to give out the Sellies.
The Sellies, yes.
Yes, the first annual Sellies. Yes.
Yes, the Sellies.
Woohoo! I love it.
Follow me at DanLaw83.
Not quite yet, Dan. Not quite yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We also.
My bad.
That same week, we are probably going to be awarded some Slam Who's.
Like there's 17 of them.
But I'm best rivalry, Dan. You're getting best impression. That's work we did on our own.
Yes, something that we actually came up with and was original.
Most original concept. Apparently taking over Hell in the Cell, even whatever.
We took it in the room. Covered in the room.
Yeah, but we took over something. Well, we took over something.
We took
I knew that.
The hearts and brains of America is what we took over.
Best rookie content.
Woohoo!
Best entertainment. Best
interview.
Wrestling. Best interview we're probably going to win now.
Best show ever.
In the room. Off the map. Hell in a Cell taking over.
Hell yeah. Hey, what's that?
Now, Chris, where can the fine people find you?
The fine people can find me on Twitter at Omega Squad.
Dan, how about yourself?
Follow me to my 10,000th tweet at DanLaw83.
You can find me at Folsom County. You can find the Twitter of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio at HIAC Talk Radio. There's also a website, HIACTalkRadio.com. And that will take you to the blog where pretty much you'll be up to date with everything going on in New Moon Rising Wrestling and various other promotions that that I go to. So, guys, have a Merry Christmas. We'll be back the day after Christmas, and then we can wish you a Happy New Year. But right now, have a
Merry
Christmas,
everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Rocking around your Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hop.
My big brother George, the richest man in town.
That's right. Attaboy, Clarence.